Blog Talk Radio.
From my summer, I wish I could call you up. Miss how you'd put your love on me.
Why you got my number? Wish I could feel your touch. Wish you could find my love on me.
You never know when to chill. Always talk about keep it real. Only till you've had your fill. Then you wanna cry ill will. Really thought you knew the deal. Oh, oh well, I guess that's what happens when two fools be falling in love. Mixing some pain and some passion. Nothing is ever enough.
If you can take my hand, I promise we'll find love again. Love again, yeah, yeah. If you can take my hand, I promise we'll find love again, yeah.
Around your boys you act so tough, like you never been in love. If you don't quit acting up, alone is weighing on enough. I promise you may think that I'm crazy. You should ask around about me. Put your trust in me, baby.
I wake from my slumber. I wish I could call you up, miss how you'd put your love on me.
Hey, boy, you got my number. Wish I could feel your touch. Wish you could follow up on me.
Hold on until the end. Hold on till you can't extend. I'll be clinging on to you. I'll be clinging on to you.
Begin again, orbiting around and then cycle back around to you. Coming back around to you. I'm coming back around and
even on your worst day, love you in the worst way. Circling around for eternity, going through the motions, you're turning me eternally.
Drifting on my own again, reaching out to hold your hand.
Take my hand, I promise we'll find love again. Oh, if you can, take my hand, I promise we'll find love again. Oh,
right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Network. And here riding shotgun with my partner. Where my partner be at? Where my partner?
Woo-hoo. Hey, partner.
What's going on with you, Gina?
I'm glad it's Saturday. Ready to get it.
I know. We're going to go ahead and talk about something. We're going to solve the problem tonight that has been plaguing mankind for eons. Tonight, we're going to solve it. The generational gap. I think it's wider now than it ever has been, Gina.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think technology has a lot of the things that people were peopling with, and now people are disconnected from each other in a way that they've never been before.
I think it was a perfect storm with this thing that came through here, this corona stuff that came through here on top of how we were already trending. And then this came up. I adjusted to it beautifully. I'm not a people type of person, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people didn't adjust to it too well. It may help us to go ahead and run into our separate corners, Gina.
Yeah, I agree.
So what are we going to say? We're going to say forget these kids, or we're going to go ahead and try to find them? What do I mean?
Oh, well, you know, that's usually my moniker, but I can't because some of those kids are some of my favorite people. And by my grandchildren getting older every day, like all kids are, I see them changing, evolving, you know, having to make choices sooner than I would have liked them to in regards to peer pressure, friendships, bullying, you know, different things that I don't remember this stuff plaguing me in elementary school. They're 10, 8, and 6, and I wouldn't trade places for $1 million with this generation of kids coming up today. I think that we had a lot more freedom because life wasn't so electronic, but now they have more technology, which is not necessarily the best thing because they have access to things earlier than they probably should.
Yeah, I guess we can hit on that, too. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, somebody would have some magazines or it would be a stag reel that your grandpa had, and you have to set up a projector and all that. It's not that hard anymore. Yeah.
No.
Just gave away something.
No. Honestly, you know what? I was thinking about my brothers leaning their heads sideways trying to watch the Playboy channel that we didn't subscribe to. But so it was scrambled,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, when they had the scrambler going, that was terrible. They would have the scrambler. I'm sorry.
They would watch as much as
they
could see and fill in the blanks, I guess, with their imaginations. But I always wanted
to. There were no imaginations. You can see. You had to train your eyes, but you can see.
Right. I'm like, what's the benefit in that? It looks like it's too much of a struggle, but they made it happen. They made it work for them.
Well, unfortunately, the kids don't have to go through such measures. They can have in full HD, 8K resolution, some things that they really shouldn't be exposed to. And it kind of helps
think
about it. Oh, yeah. Well, are you up to this, partner, solving this problem tonight, or do you want to just
awesome
shut it down now?
Point. I feel like the things that I need to do to help my grandchildren stay focused are the same things that I did to keep my daughter on track. Now, I know that she did a lot of things that they're not doing right now because she was an only child, so she would get invited often to friends and cousins' parties. You know, on the weekends, she would go.
There's a different climate, too.
She would go skating, and 9 out of 10, I didn't even attend. She was a drop-off, pick-up kind of kid. I wouldn't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't feel comfortable. Dropping my grass any place except my mama's house. But, yeah, there'll be no dropping off of these kids. So, yeah, the climate's changed. The world has changed. Things, technology has increased. There's so many different things to worry about and be fearful of, you know, but you still want them to be kids. But I found this to be true. There are things that are timeless and don't go out of fashion, or you know, stop trending. We still do puzzles, jigsaw puzzles, put puzzles together, you know, one piece
right
at a time.
Mechanical type of stuff, but you have to use your hands.
Oh yeah, where the next puzzle piece goes, everybody's thrilled to see, you know, who's going to get it, and then when we get the finished product, we can all be proud of, you know, our hard work. Playing board games, we still play, you know, Sorry. Connect Four. The kids love Connect Four. It's like, you know, tic-tac-toe, but with checkers. You know what I'm saying? They dig
right.
this stuff. They understand the principle of it, and it doesn't have, you know, any lights, and it doesn't make any sounds, and it doesn't do anything. It just
well,
needs to be funky.
If me and you end up playing checkers and you scream four in a row, I'm going to say, I don't know what the hell you talking about, this checkers.
Four is different, but like I said, it's the red side and the black side. And so that's what I said. That's why it reminds me of checkers. But you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Just getting into life. Stop watching it on the keyboard.
Yeah. I'm teaching the girls now how to play jacks and my grandson how to shoot marbles. And it's just, these are things that you don't see kids do anymore. I hardly ever see kids blowing or flying kites. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's, for me, it's very...
It's going to be that old-fashioned like that, Gina.
I bought them all. Yo-yo, judge if you want to, but yeah. It's going to be yo-yo test.
You're kidding me. No, you got to use your skill level, son.
You turn this on, Gigi. I was like, oh, it is on, baby. Put that loop on your middle finger and drop it. It'll come back up.
It's always Oh, man. Well, I had to go in a private room in my house because I didn't want the kids to hear me talking about solutions on bridging the generational gap because they believe that I don't understand.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how deep we're going to get off in here because there's a lot of things that could be solved with a little bit of, hey, you know what? I got to make sure you don't touch that hot stove no more.
Yeah, sometimes you have to learn the hard way. But for the most part, I think if there's anything I can do to help aid the process, not make it so dramatic, not to traumatize the kids in the long term, and to definitely show them that there are so many ways you can entertain yourself, you know, without electricity.
Right.
No
bad. I also believe that, you know, some of the things that we were raised with weren't exactly right. I've come to that realization. But as I look back down through history and I start getting back into my grandma in them time and my grandpa in them time, some of the ways that they were raised weren't right either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I will go ahead and say that the parents of our generation did make some mistakes with the children. But it's supposed to be an improvement. But it seems like now with technology involved, because you can have a kid in your presence and a kid not even really be in your presence all day long because they have their head down and they're inside the internet.
Mm-hmm. If
they can be anywhere in the world anytime.
They're holding a game controller. And then they might even have on Airbus listening to music. They're just disengaged. Yeah. They're plugged in, just us.
All right, so we're going to chop it up with the poets and stuff like that, then, Gina. And we're going to go ahead and see if we can get to the bottom of this whole thing here.
Yeah.
Gina, I'm going to need you to do a mechanical
analog.
Drop for us. Yeah, analog. We're going to analog.
Duh. Yeah, ladies, Epiphany Universe here at Epiphany. You can reach us by calling in at 319-527-6300. Press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation and share poetry on the mic this evening. If not, then enjoy your listen, learn, take notes if need be. We're going to be here tonight chopping it up at the Epiphany Universe, where you can also reach us at blogtalk.com. And we're also streaming live on all social media streaming networks. So with that being said, Just Jay and Gina, we're loving to have you here at the show with us, and happy Saturday.
Oh, man, you should get paid to do that right there, Gina. I'm just going to get in your business right now. You should get paid to do that right there. To do them drops, which I know you do already, so I'm just making light of it. But you should get paid to do that.
It's in my skill set. Thank you.
Oh, it's definitely in your wheelhouse now. All right, we're going to go ahead and check in. We have a few callers in, Gina. We have one person that has their hand up. One person has pressed 1. So we're going to go ahead and see who this is.
All right, let's go.
Howdy do.
Hello, how are ya? All right, who is this?
This is your boy Blaze, and I've not been on here in a long time. And I thought I'd switch up the voice tone just in case I can throw you off a little bit.
Oh, that's funny, Blaze. Thank you for coming through.
How you doing, Blaze?
How you guys doing? I'm doing
good,
man. Can't complain about too much.
We're chopping it up about these kids. What are we going to do with the generational divide? Is there any hope for them? Can we help? Is there any way we can try to bridge the gap and, pull it together?
I do believe so. There's always some way to get through to them. We got to be serious about ourselves and who we are in order to get to them. And if we're not serious about who we are and what we need to do for ourselves, we won't be able to reach them. So we really need to get serious about our own lives in order to reach them and touch their lives. And they got to see it. They got to know it's real. Because if they think we playing, they ain't going to take it seriously.
Hey, Blaze, as far as you've seen, man, where are we as adults dropping the ball? I'm going to go ahead and get that out of the way first. We're going to try to keep this as much as down the middle of the road as we can because we don't really have any representatives calling in tonight from that age range. But if somebody do know a representative, they can call in. They don't have to do any poetry. They can just chit-chat with us. But where have we been dropping the ball at as far as the adults go, Blaze?
Yo. Okay. I'm going to put out there, first of all, us not connecting to the women not connecting to us because everybody's still playing games. Be real with each other. Be real with yourself and understand, like, if you don't have it together, why the hell are you trying to talk to her to screw her life up when she's trying to get it together and vice versa? Like, if you know you ain't supposed to be trying to talk to nobody, why are you trying to incorporate another person in your life when you ain't got your shit together? That's first.
Mm-hmm. Gina, what you think about that right
secondly,
there?
Huh?
Well, I have to agree with you, Blaze, when it comes to that. The disconnect, and honestly, if you think about it like this, if men and women aren't communicating properly, they don't have their stuff together, and they're trying to be in relationships, they're starting out on a bad note. If any children come from these connections of these broken adults who don't have their stuff together, these children only call them a crossfire of some mess, and it just goes downhill from there.
And they're broken. They grow up broken. They break their children. They woke up, they come up broken, and then they break their children. It's generational curses. And so if you don't get it together, you need to show them the right way to do this. And if you're starting off doing it the wrong way and you continue doing it the wrong way, they're only going to incorporate what you've shown them the wrong way.
So are you saying that men-women relationships are having an effect on the children?
Yes, most definitely. Think about it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The women are not really loving the men or not loving the men or not knowing how to love the men. And they're in relationships with each other. Females are now dating females. They're having sex with females. They can't incorporate a child out of sex unless they already have a child, in which that child in that situation is growing up confused because how is mommy sexing mommy? Okay, so how is daddy sexing daddy? Like, how is this shit working? And you expect me to be okay when I grow up? That's why Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's kids are so fucked up now. Because
Ooh.
Of all the weird stuff that they got going on in their relationship. So kids like that growing up in that environment are going to be screwed up. And why? Because y'all are showing them how to be screwed up. And
you know
even
what, man,
when they want to get it together.
Yeah. Well, I've thought about it often, too, as far
together,
as
they can't.
I've thought about it often also as the breakdown of the marital unit. has been the reason for some of the ills that we've been having. You know, we all know how children get here. I got a poem about a stork. And it's this guy blaming this stork for this woman getting pregnant. And this woman know that stork didn't get her pregnant. And, you know, but, you know, that's the that's kind of like the premise and the push of the poem, that nobody's really taking responsibility. We're out here having the sex and we're doing all these different things, but the children are resulting. And there are a lot of bitter feelings that are coming about because these are children that are coming up without fathers. They're coming up with disadvantages immediately. The fun is cool, but the result is that no matter what type of precautions you keep taking, the human race is going to keep increasing. And they're going to start in that bedroom that night of a person that you really don't know, that you really don't have an emotional investment into. But yet you're tied to this person in that way now.
Yes. And honestly, that's where mental health illness comes from in our culture anymore, is because of the disconnect and the intended disconnect from man to woman and woman to man as far as these relationships go. You go into it thinking, what can I get out of this? And what mostly do you get out of this is sex and the thrill behind sex. Supposedly you're using your bodies for that anyway. Your bodies are from what God states, your bodies are not built to just use it that way. There are other reasons, better reasons, that you should be using your bodies as a temple for those situations. Yet, we still go around here just pleasing the flesh. And the more you please the flesh, the more screwed up everything gets. The kids grow up messed up, and they're trying to figure out things growing up, and they see the disconnect and the dysfunction within the household, or they don't see a connection at all in the household because there's no father there, or there's no mother there, or there are the substitutes for father and mother there. Yet, in most situations, a boyfriend coming into the family because of the father not being there, the biological father not being there, the mother takes a stand still at that point and states, well, you can't say certain things to my kids. Yet you have a female that is sexing your mom, and she can say anything she wants to you, and the mother has no problem with it. Why is that there?
It seems like it's
a
lot of
different things. You give it to a female.
Things across the board that
are causing it. But you won't give it to a male. I'm sorry. Say that again?
Yeah. It seems like it's a lot of different issues that are causing the reason for the gap across the board as far as and we even got even before the children got here, as far as the reason for the gap being so wide. Me and Gina were talking a little bit earlier. We were talking about how technology is really driving a wedge in between the parents and the children right now. And a lot of – because you can get on the Internet, you can enter into a different world. If you're into Dungeons and Dragons and the rest of that
– I got to cut you there. If you don't mind, I have to cut you there.
Go ahead.
That gap only exists because parents are looking to be friends with their children. That only exists because
the old school,
you're not
that's
putting
where I
your
live
foot
at.
Down. Yeah, you're not putting your foot down to state these are the things that are not acceptable in my household, and these are the things that are acceptable, but they're acceptable with some strings attached. You're not going to do these certain things in my house, and you're going to listen to what I tell you to do in my house, and I don't have to put my hands on you to make you believe that's what's going to happen. I'm going to say it, and you're going to do it. I don't need to give you a reason why you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. And those
as far as this generation goes
missing,
now, you have to give a reason because they sure going to ask you why and all the rest of that type of stuff.
The only reason why that exists is because you let it go too far. It's too far gone.
I think society on the whole has let it go too far.
Yes. Yes. And that's the reason why you have to give a reason now. Because now it's expected that you tell me what I need to do and why. When we were growing up, was it and why after you told us what to do? It wasn't and why, because the and why was already instilled in our mind. The and why was, if you ask me, I'm going to bust your behind. That was the and why for us.
Right.
Because you already know what you need to do.
But they, you know, since the children are out there like that, we do have to go out there and meet them where they're at. That's a part of the gap also. We have to go out there and meet them where they're at.
I'm not saying we don't. I'm not saying we don't. We surely do. We surely do, and we have to understand where they are.
And we can hold our own ground in this while we're doing that as well. For sure. I said we can hold our own ground while we're doing that also, but we do have to go out there and meet them where they're at now because the field of the theater has changed. That we were that we grew
understood.
Up in.
And I agree. I totally agree.
Yes,
and
sir.
We have to have a heart for what they go through and what they've seen, what they've experienced in their own household or in their own family.
Believe me, bro, I come from the camp that you're in as far as, like, the things have got so lax to the point where nobody's happy now. And the reason why nobody's happy now is because we're leaving it up to the kids to lead. The parents are not leading their kids. I just seen a kid on a video. He was driving with his father, and the father was telling him to stop. And he was trying to figure out if he should listen to his dad. But meanwhile, the car was still rolling forward. Boom, they got in an accident. You can see on the kid's face that he was trying to figure out with us if our parents were when we were in there driving and our parents told us to stop. We better stop that joke even if we see a train on the that we on the tracks and a train coming.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
The wisdom is the train could have been on the opposite tracks and it zoomed right past us. But if the kid is trying to is having problems with thinking about what we just told them is true or if it's beneficial to them, then we start getting that disconnect. Brother, do you have a poem for us tonight?
Yes, I do.
All right, Blaze, man, it was good meeting you, man. I've heard you blazing on the airwaves. This is my first time getting a chance to chit-chat with you, man.
And I thank you. These type of talks, we need to have more regularly on every Blog Talk Radio show.
You know, this is a tough conversation, though. This is a really tough conversation. I'm enjoying it with you, though, man. It is, but you know what? If it was easy, it would already been done, Blaze. All those problems would be taken care of right now. I said, if it was easy, all of these problems would be taken care of right now. We have to start running away from what's not easy.
Yeah, life is not easy. So, like, you always have to have a B and C section. You got to always have subcategories because everything is not always going to be easy in life. So you have to have other things that go against what's going on that are forces to be reckoned with in order for you to get clarity and understanding on what needs to happen in these situations and that situation. All children, and we all know, that all children don't come with rules and regulations and books, guidelines, and instructions to raise them by because they're all different. And that's the way life is.
It really is, brother. With that being said, sir, the mic is yours.
Infrared itself be the dot that creates the circle around you. Be or become one with self. While watching the company you keep for, having that understanding allows you to be aware of the friends that you've accepted, but keep your eyes peeled because even they may have connivingly moved and maneuvered within the ranks as under-the-radar stragglers whose sole purpose is to get close enough to you just to sabotage or secretly overtake your establishment. Keep in mind, when you brightly shine with luminescence, just know you cast shadows that ultimately brings about small, dark images following you throughout your walk, predestined to murder even the slightest thought of your mere image and its existence thereof. Don't let them find you repetitively, second-guessing, session after session, making them feel as though they'll have the answers to your questions, beginning to teach you lessons that lessen you in succession of the worst kind of oppression, your deep-seated fear against their overtly heightened aggression, scaring you to death, friend, with their mass destructive weapons in which they rep well while you no clue what to do, shaking in your boots, overstep, jail. They'll be laughing, saying, sorry, guy. We can tell you're horrified, waiting to exhale. Meanwhile, got you holding your breath in. They've plotted on your downfall, making the ground tall round y'all, predestined to hold a clown ball. Now, don't that kind of sound off, brethren? We've been brainwashed to give them heaven while being force-fed hell. Of course, dead smells are all we're surrounded by. Got us feeling like there's no way out, locked up like Akon, but at second glance, until we stumble upon the fact that we're smooth criminals like Mike Jack, and when it all goes down, let them know you, I, me, we collectively will fight back. They've made it known that they don't give a damn about your plight, Jack. Some of your own kind can't wait to see you go. To the very point that they've even been practicing on how they're going to tell you, good night, Scrat. Do you like that? I thought not. So again, don't get caught slopping or slipping. Matter of fact, be the only dot in your district till this shit becomes a pattern that is forever followed. You can even call the dot surrounded by a circular ring Saturn. Clever model. Never argued. Got me? Got you. This whole thing was about us, but it's how I help you to help me see who you truly are. So it's more or less about me, not you. I'm here to guide and watch you. But break ranks again, and I'm going to do more than infrared dot you. Yeah, you heard it. I'm here to guide and watch you. But break ranks again, and I'm going to do more than infrared dot you. Yeah, infrared dot you. Please.
Blaze.
No,
all right.
I wasn't ready. You know how to take a breath. Literally was listening to infrared dot. I'm like, wow. And I thought I was murdered, this kill, Blaze. That was something else, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
I had to clutch my pearls and get my life together. It was necessary, though. I'm not mad, and I do feel you.
Thank you so much. You got to watch who's in your circle. But see, my whole thing is a lot of people say, watch those that's in your circle. I don't need a circle. I need me as the dot. I'll bring people around me that create my circle. But I'm even watching you because they're secretly trying to sabotage who you are and then trying to make sure that people are following them instead of them being leaders in their own little section. They become you become the dot in your own section and build around you. Don't try and connect to me. People think that, oh, he fake, he this, he that, he out for this, he try to do this to you. No, I know who I am. Figure out who you are and don't be trying to sabotage me and tell lies about me and secretly try to maneuver yourself in the ranks to make it seem like you for them, but you really for yourself. I'm about working with y'all, and I'm about helping you. I'm for myself, but I still got to watch out for you because I think you might still be trying to get me.
Bro, you went in here. You said you started talking about, like, the infrared. And the infrared, is that, like, just a play on the gun infrared, or is this dot that you're talking
it's
about, the heat signature?
It's both of them. It's the play on the gun, play on the fact that, okay, I know you're trying to get me, but
Like, I'm not out trying to get you, but when I find out you're trying to get me, I'm going to get you.
Right. I heard you say watch your friends.
Yeah,
mentioned shadows.
Yeah. Yeah. Those, the same people that are for you could also be the same people that's against you. Those that are close to you.
You also talked about the fear of incarceration,
brothers. Those are family members, and those are close to you. The same ones that are trying to get you are the same ones that are really close to you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it talked about the fear of incarceration being used as a tool against us also.
Yeah. Yes. Because that's how they take you out, too.
And yeah, it also talks
now,
about
when
the
you're
pattern,
out of the picture and you're locked
up. Keep getting followed as well.
Huh?
I said, yeah, it talked about the pattern that seems to keep getting followed forever as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty deep poem, man. I like this right here, bro.
Thank you, man. I try and look at things from all different angles when I write my poetry.
And that's how we're supposed to do it, too, man. That's how we're supposed to do it, because your point of view may one day resonate with everybody, even if it's not resonating with everybody that day. I'm a deep believer in the different points of view. Even if, like myself, I may say something that may not ring 1,000 at the time, but maybe with that time will come around where it does do that, or it starts to pick up momentum, or the climate changes. And then all of a sudden it goes like, all right, this right here is relevant now. Man, this is hot
right
here, bro.
Thank you so much, man. I'm a
yes,
worthy artist. But people a lot have told me countlessly how good I play on, how much I play on words and my wordplay. But I wanted to take it to another level in this one, so that you can hear that, but you can also, I have you thinking even more that actually what it is I'm stating, so you can know what you need to do for yourself in your life.
My man. Well, Blaze, man, we appreciate you coming through here, man, sharing the gems and the jewels of wisdom, man. For real, it was everything that it should have been, brother.
I thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, Gina, do you have anything to say to our caller before we go?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoy his perspective on how we need to be concerned about the relationships between men and women and start there and build our way, work our way out to bridging the gap between these generations, because there is a whole divide, a whole thing got lost. You know, we were talking about chivalry before with Pharrell when Larry Maddox was saying that he, you know, chivalry was dead, and chivalry's not dead, and romance isn't dead, and love isn't dead, and monogamy isn't dead, and heterosexual relationships being popular isn't dead. It's just not popular right now. It's just on the back burner. A lot of the values and the things that we grew up with have been shoved in a closet or pushed under a rug. So as long as we have these conversations and we have poets like you, Blaze, who are willing to come and share your voice and lend your opinion to the conversation, we'll be able to make a difference. And poetry like that is always, always welcome, because the wordplay is not just amazing, but the storytelling in it. A lot of people aren't focused on the stories that they're telling, but the story that you're telling is very true. And being friends and being good relatives is part of how we remain decent human beings. So, yeah, I liked all of that. This was just a wonderful, wonderful treat for me.
Thank you so much. One more thing. Can I say this? One more thing, and I got to go.
Hey, go ahead.
We see the many deaths, the many funerals that have part that have the killings and the murders of police brutality and things of that nature. I can't remember how to say it, but the funerals behind those are the funerals we set in play, although we don't know we set it in play. And again, it goes back to the mothering and fathering of children.
Oh, yeah.
When you have the parents in your household that need to be there, that should be there, even if they're not there, if you have a father being the father and not being a dude that got this female pregnant, and the mother allowing him to be the father and not showing that, oh, this is the dude that I slept with that night. It's not your father, or playing on it, whatever, to make the child feel like that parent is important. Both parents are important all the time. So females need to stop downplaying the fathers. The fathers need to step up to be the fathers, and the fathers need to stop downplaying the mothers as if they're not mothers. If the respect was there at one point, it needs to stay there. That way we're not confusing what? Our kids, and the kids running the streets and doing illegal things and whatever else and get caught up in the system because they're shooting and killing and impregnating other females and cops are killing them. We set the stage for these funerals, so we need to stop setting the stage for these funerals and understand how important it is to be the mother and father in these children's relationships.
Man, I heard that, That's Blaze. All. I heard that, man. Brothers, wealth of knowledge. And that's one thing about tonight, Blaze. We're not trying to guide people on what they should go ahead and say. What we're doing is we're just going ahead and airing this out. We're throwing things up against the wall to see what goes ahead and stick. Because one thing that may work for one person may not work for another person. But if we go ahead and put a wide buffet out here, try not to guide the conversation excessively. We figure that we can go ahead and get some good knowledge out of this, man. We appreciate you for coming through tonight.
I thank you for having me, man. Y'all take care. God bless.
Thank you. One love, one mic.
All right, Gina, we have survived our first caller. How do you feel tonight?
I feel great, and I enjoyed that. Like I said, Blaze had a lot to offer. So I look at it like this. Every person who comes on has something that they can add. You know, eventually we will get it. At some point it will work out. You know, we can get back on track. I think we lost a lot of focus on humaning and just being decent people because we got so caught up in the speed of our internet and the ability to disconnect. So now it's time to reconnect.
That internet is pretty fast, that Gina. That internet is pretty fast.
Remember when it was dial-up?
I know. Your telephone's in there screaming at you.
Oh, yeah. We're still a fax machine. Right. Oh, speaking of fax, I got some black fax.
Get out of here. Let's go ahead and get on some of these fax then, Gina. I'm about to go ahead and get his mic and get out the way.
Thank you, sir.
This section of the show is called Black Fax. With the beautiful Gina Storm.
All right, so what I like to do is I like to give in review, the week in review. I'll just try to find some of the ones that really stuck with me as far as what the black facts were for these days in this month of March. Celebrating black history should not be just in February, and for us it never has been. It's always 365. So these are some of the black facts that I came across. How a university became chartered on the 2nd of March in 1867. Garrett Morgan invented the first automatic three-way traffic light that we still use today in 1877 on the 4th of March. Here we go. This is one. A lot of y'all have probably seen the movie Selma, knew about the story, the march, and all of the social justice marches, sit-ins, boycotts that took place during the Civil Rights Movement. The first Selma March, stopped by Alabama state troopers, took place in 1965 on the 7th of March. Harriet Tubman, abolitionist and Union spy, died in 1913 on the 10th of March. Could you imagine that?
What's that?
1913, Harriet Tubman died. Think about that. And we were born in the 1900s. So she died at the beginning of the century that we were born in the middle of. But she was a slave.
You know what? She did a lot of things. I mean, hold on. Let's just be real. This is the 1900s. I imagine that the relationships with black people and white people was not much better back then than it is now. She did those things as a woman. I don't know what type of strength that this woman exuded from her when you met her, because for you to go ahead and say, like, hey, I'm about to go ahead and take you out of this, I was like, I don't know, because if I get caught, I already know how it's going to be. So she had to go ahead and convince her own people that she could actually go ahead and do this. I don't know what type of strength that she exuded. You know, like sometimes you may meet a person today and you see them on TV all the time, and then when you're around them in their presence, you can actually feel the strength they exuded. I don't know what level Harriet Tubman must have been on.
Superhuman.
Superhuman, to say the least.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had to put that in perspective for a minute. That was a lot. Harriet Tubman, though. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Andrew Young was the first African-American to serve as chief delegate to the United Nations, and he was born on the 12th of March in
1932. That kind of puts me in the mind of the, when they talk about that, you know, Barack Obama wasn't the first black president. I think they had like 8 different people they went ahead and named off was presidents, black presidents before Barack Obama. But you know how the whitewashing goes.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Just one claiming the fact that there was some black in the bloodline, but I'm going to be honest with you. There's so many levels to how all we are. We are all fractions. We're just percentages at this point. And I'll get us up to Thursday. On the 24th of March, Halle Berry was the first African-American to win an Academy Award for Best Actress in a Leading Role. She did that in 2002. That seemed like it was more recent than it is, but you know, time apparently has been flying because it's 2023. That was 21 years ago, really? Yeah, apparently it was.
What movie was that? Was that Babs?
No. Academy Award Babs. Oh, wow. Okay.
Was it Monsters Ball or what was it?
Oh, actually. Mm-hmm. It was Monsters. And I was not proud of her in that movie at all. But for her to get that
award. That's why she got it, then.
Was huge. Yeah, I think she had to make some kind of internal sacrifices, maybe outward sacrifices in order for that to take place. And I'm not cut from that cloth or built that way, but I'm very proud of everybody who've been trailblazing, you know, in the arts and making a name for themselves in our community. So, yeah, salute to all those blacks in history for the month of March. And when we get back, it'll be April, so the next time we do our show, we'll be doing Black History Month, Black Facts in April.
All right, now. Was that the movie with Billy Bob Thornton in it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't want to talk about this. See, I do not like that movie.
Was that the movie with Billy Bob Thornton?
Billy Bob was working at the prison as a guard, and she had this obese son that she was physically and verbally abusive towards. So, yeah, it was just a really bad look all around. But she got an Oscar.
Right. I guess they went ahead and made us look at what we want to see then.
Uh-huh.
All right, Gina, let's go ahead. Appreciate the Black Facts segment of the show. We're going to go ahead and get on with a couple of these callers here. We got a caller coming out of 832. Let's go ahead and see what they got to talk about that old generational gap there, G.
Let's go. 832.
How are you?
Hello, welcome. Just Jay and Gina.
Yes, sir. Hi, Gina.
How are you?
Now, Gina, you must assume that every person knows you that's going to be calling in here. So,
sorry, no, actually, I know Eric's voice when I hear it. I'm one of those people, Jay. I'm sorry.
I know.
Just Jay, this is Eric Battles. Eric Battles, just Jay.
Hey, Mr. Battles, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
We're talking about the generational gap today, man, and we're trying to see if we're going to go ahead and try to close it in by extending the hand or saying, you know, Gilligan's Island was a movie. It's been turned into a real-life thing. Well, so what say you, sir, about this generational gap?
Yeah, Yeah, we got to fix that.
Do you think it's fixable?
It's fixable. It's just a matter of having that conversation.
Sometimes that conversation can be very hard to have with these young people. And right now, today we're talking about solutions in order to make that happen so that we can start having a better dialogue with the children. What say you, sir, as far as how we can bridge that generational gap in order to have better communication with this generation that's currently here? Oh, you sound like you're very far away from your telephone, sir.
Yeah, it would be like the little protection, my brother, myself, and my baby sister. We would just have a book discussion.
We were able to hear you in the beginning, now we can hardly hear you. Gina, is it clear to you? It might just be my end.
It's kind of in and out.
Hold on.
Yeah, I would hate to not be able to follow these gems, because I know he's got some gems and jewels he'd like to share as well. And he's very gifted. So,
yeah, can you hear me now?
Much better.
Yes. All right, sir. So what can we do? What can we employ to try to bridge this generational gap? You know, just to have the conversations without us feeling like that we're from two different planets. What can we do, sir, Mr. Battles? Hello?
If you're talking, we don't hear anything.
Oh, wait a minute. For some reason, he got...
Yeah.
Mr. Battles, are you in, sir?
Yeah, I
am. Yeah, it looked like he got muted or something.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, brother.
Oh, no worries. Now, what I was saying, like, my brother would take three of us, my brother, my sister, and myself, and we would just have an open discussion about what to expect out of the upcoming school years for each school year that we went through in school, like from elementary to high school. You know what I'm saying? It's just something about having a family meeting beforehand, so we know what to expect.
Absolutely. You had to start with the plan, and that meeting was the game plan. I love that.
I think it's possible for us to go ahead and have a simple discussion about the future. That's something that we all can agree is coming. So that would be a good place to go ahead and start having a discussion at that, Mr. Battles. I like that a lot. And that's something that's from the old school, and it's something that sounds practical and still feasible, man.
Exactly.
Right. Do you have any children, sir?
Not at the moment.
Oh, congratulations,
but,
brother.
I haven't found anyone just yet to have a child with just yet, so I'm working on that.
Yes, sir. My son, he was working on that same issue, and I am now a grandfather. My grandson is about 2 months and some days old. It is a solvable problem.
Yep.
Wait,
yes, sir.
Do you have any poetry for us today, brother? It doesn't have to be on the topic. We're just getting some poetry out of you now.
Oh, that's no problem, because that's all I do. Okay, so I just finished this one just not too long ago.
Fresh ink. With that being said, Eric Battles, the mic is yours.
All right. In a world filled with nothing but thunderstorms, we took turns covering each other from the rain. What more could I do at this point to keep her out of the room. You're insane. Mother Nature having a field day to see to it. By end of it, we were never ending it without any little pain. As I held on to this beautiful queen that I love, my passion for her never goes in vain. How much do I truly love this woman that's in my arms, where wonders may never cease? That these feelings of which I hold within may never, ever be decreased. The only thing that I want for her is a life lived eternally in peace. My position in her security is forever solidified, so I pray that my comfort is never released.
Wow.
Hold on. Although she may not know it, my feelings for her keeps the kindling of the fire, no doubt. At what point in our relationship will she need to question whether or not this flame of ours needs to go out? She's been with me even before my fame, stuck with me even before I had clout. Understanding that she's held on to me even when I had a financial drought. To her, I'm a chocolate-covered gummy bear, a sweet treat for her to devour. To me, she's my sweet Lenore, loving her black Edgar Allan Poe. As I sit here countless, with countless love letters stacked in this raven-covered tower. What more can I say about her, even when she got me covered before and after I get out of the shower? With that said, I pray that she understands that she waters my spirit. My life will continue to bloom like a soul flower in peace.
Did you call her a soul flower?
Yes.
That is truly beautiful. I love that. We thought you were done, honestly. You didn't say it was the end, but there was a pause, and I'm thinking, okay, he's done, because that was amazing. And then there was more, which was even better. Did you say chocolate-covered gummy bear?
Yep.
She's about to get the diabetes, but I ain't mad at her. Oh, Eric, that's beautiful. I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Jay, what you got for him? Oh, wow.
Hey, you know what, man? I love love poems. When I say I love love poems, man, love poems is what helped me break out of hip-hop, man. This piece right here, man, you were talking to this woman. You were like, how much do I love this woman? I mean, you started straight out the gates with digging into the deep of the sap of the tree. You said you want her to live a life that never live a life of love that never ceases. Man, you going in with this woman. And then come to find out you were a secret admirer of this woman. If you don't let this woman know, if you don't put this poem on record and put some little soft music in behind this, make a video and send this poem to this woman, man, you're going to have it out, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm working on more stuff. I'm coming up with.
When are you going to let her know about the battles?
Oh, shoot. I'm working on it.
All right, my man. She's working on it. The poetry and the foundation is already set.
Oh, yeah.
I'm about to say he don't need much more. That would do it for real. That would definitely get the door open.
Oh, yeah. Man, this is a nice poem right here, brother.
That's what I do best.
Hey, man, you have anything going on, man, that you want to go ahead and talk about before we go ahead and move forward?
I got a live contract tomorrow night with for my fellow manifestos tomorrow night over at this place called Super Happy Funland in Houston.
Yeah,
we do like an end of the month showcase where we got different artists, like for singers, poets, rappers, all forms of mic entertainment, and we just
we're
down the house. Oh well, if you're in Houston, it's always at 3801 Polk Street.
And
the show starts from 8 to 11.
Hey, man, I'm hoping you go ahead and massacrate and murder the mic.
Shoot. We stay burning the mic. We keep replacing them every time we perform.
That's written into the contract. This mic might be wrecked tonight.
I like that. Absolutely. Well, I do a lot of traveling, and especially will do so for poetry. And whenever in Texas, I will bear that in mind that I need to check you out in the Houston area. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, that not only that, but like I still do with Once Behind the Pen on Mondays. So
we went there on Monday as well. Absolutely. And like I said, they're going to be doing a duet show every month. So I look forward to each one.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be awesome. We appreciate you coming through, your commentary in regards to how to bridge this generational gap and that love poetry right there. Like, my face hurts. I can't stop smiling. That was beautiful.
Oh,
appreciate
yeah.
you so very much. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Take care, my brother.
No.
All right, Gina, we trucking right along here.
Hey,
you know what? I really didn't expect for these different points of views to come up and how far back they've been going as far as, like, where we could go ahead and work on these different problems that are where the problems that started up at and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But like mm-hmm. Eric was saying, with his mom having a meeting with them at the beginning of the school year about expectations and, you know, how they were going to navigate through certain terrain, that's not been something that I've employed. But by my grandchildren being in elementary school now, I think it's definitely something that we could start now, and they could write that out through their educational careers. And I like that a lot, a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, it would always give them room to go ahead and talk to you when things started getting bad in school, you know, like as far as bullying situations. I guess contingencies, but that can even go ahead and be discussed too, so that the child doesn't feel like they left to their own devices when their peers start bullying on them.
Case in point, when there was a theft in my grandson's class, and Joshua waited for an opportune moment so that he could pull the teacher to the side and tell, because nobody wants to be a snitch. But you also don't want to know that somebody took something and you saw it and didn't say. And the beautiful thing about that was the teacher saw him see, just wondered if he would tell, and he did. So sometimes that shows, and it speaks to your character when you do the right thing.
Right.
When no one's watching, and even when somebody's watching and you're not aware of it. So, yeah, it warms my heart to hear things like that, and kids need to not give into the peer pressure of even not doing the right thing, because you may not have been a party to whatever the crime was, but if you saw it and didn't tell, you were culpable.
You're definitely culpable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, y'all have 45 minutes to go ahead and get in here before the show goes totally to the telephone end of it. The internet will be cut off. Gina, I'm going to go ahead to a quick promo snippet. I'm hoping this is a promo snippet. It seems to be labeled as a promo snippet, so I'm going to hold my breath and press the button as of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to Epiphany Radio. Thine for Real Entertainment Network. Baby. Baby. Baby, baby. Dilly, dilly. Tiffany Radio.
Online all the time.
In the mix.
Take thine socks off.
Thine socks are stripped. How about you, Gina?
Mine socks have been removed.
The best thing going ever. Best thing going ever. All right, we got a caller in here. Jenny, you want to go ahead and bring them in, or you just want to leave them out there in limbo? Talk to me. What you want to do?
Oh, we need this caller. We need to understand what's going on with them. We need to know how they're feeling, what's happening, and how they're doing. Let's go.
All right, I'm going to tell the other people who don't have their hands up. If you raise your hand, then we can go ahead and pull you in. All right, 445, how about you?
Y'all better not leave me hanging in the hallway playing with me. I've been in here trying to deal with this. This baby.
Oh, Gina, somebody is calling us and asking us about our doggone factory warranty. I'm about, I didn't know they was calling this time tonight.
She's been body slammed by a baby, so we got to let her get up in here. I know that. And Jared is learning, so let's go.
He's crawling on me now. I thought he was going to stay sitting down, but, oh, well, I'm here.
It's all about him.
He's having fun now.
This is La Perla Negra. Oh, God, really? Come on, baby. Here, sit here. Yeah.
He's the boss. I love boss babies. It's a real thing, y'all.
Boss, he's a bully.
He can't be bullying the Empress
General.
Around. What the hell?
About him.
He kids don't have no respect.
No. So what we're going to do is tap dance around the fact that he's running the show. La Perla Negra's just holding the phone and ask you the question of the evening, how can we bridge these generational gaps? And as you can see, the bond between her and her grandchild, the balance of power, it's become a struggle to the point where he's going to always win. So how do we get this grandma back on track, y'all?
But I tell you what, I let him win, and you gonna stop. Get out.
She's letting him win again. Everybody listen closely.
I stick tissue between my boobs sometimes, just in case, you know, you might be out somewhere. It's force of habit, and you might have a runny nose or something, anything, and it's a quick grab, and he keeps pulling it out.
Right.
He looks like it's a Kleenex dispenser.
And he holds it between, you know how they ball their fist up and got them two little fingers, that index finger and that thumb, and he's just holding it like right at the tip, looking at it. Like, don't put that back in there. Okay. But I love him more than life itself. He's my booger butt. You get to miss. Yeah. But to speak on the topic, there has to be a better communication. People, you know, these parents are getting younger and younger every generation.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
So are the grandparents, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for them to look at somebody that's my age, I'm in my 50s, I look ancient to them. My age is ancient. They think I was around with dinosaurs. And the thing is, a lot of these parents don't talk to their children. Partly the blame is technology. Everybody's face is and head is always down in a device or something, okay? And if it ain't on the internet, if it's on the internet, it's just got to be true, you know? And what my husband and I used to do with our children, when they got in their teen, well, even before they got in their teen years, if they had an issue, the first thing we always told them was, if you don't tell me the truth, I can't help you. regardless of what's going on. Always let me know what's going on, okay? Even if you think you did wrong or whatever. Yes, always, okay? There wasn't too much that was off limits as far as discussion goes because my husband and I were both street runners, so we know how it can be. And I came from a very, very... You want to say something? Did you want to say something? Mm. Okay, thank you. So, looking at me smiling. So, right. I wasn't able to talk to anyone. And I grew up in a family with 14 kids, okay? Two sets of twins, and I was one of the sets. And,
you have a twin, Danielle?
I had one. He passed away about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I have older sisters that are twins. And unfortunately, one of them was taken from us by a man that was very selfish and greedy and didn't want to let her go. But I didn't have that, none of those opportunities to talk. I was the kid in the family that was pushed to the side, what they call, some of them refer to them as a glass child. Even though I had disabilities, I was born with arthritis. My twin was really off balance. He had a chemical imbalance. That boy was dealing with five different personalities, literally. And my mother had a tendency to push me to the side more so. So I always made a vow.
Was
I was always going
to
talk to
my children. Was trying to tend to... triaging,
yeah.
Do you think it was she wasn't triaging properly, or it was just that there was the way set up with 14 kids and you seemed like that you could handle certain things?
Well, I was the baby girl in the family. By the time my brother and I had come along, everybody else was grown or they were on their way to being grown. Most of them were in college and the other ones were just finishing high school. So we were like the babies of the family.
Right.
And it was just a whole lot of toxicity. My mother had a thing for money, and I'm not going to get into detail because I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about what's going on. But we have to learn how to communicate with this generation and the ones to come, because if you can't talk, you can't work anything out. You can't solve anything. Grabbing a device and punching some keys on there, it does not work because you
right.
don't know the emotions that are going on with that person. You can't see expressions on their face. You can't make any kind of judgment.
What's the matter? Oh, Lord. Oh, come on. What's the matter?
You just don't want me to give my attention to nobody, do you? I don't know whether he bit his tongue or what.
Right.
But
you blood if you bit it hard enough, but if you didn't, it just hurt.
Yeah, it just hurt for a little bit. If he sit still, come on, boy.
That's funny. She said he and sit still in the same breath. No.
It's communication is and has always been key. You have to be able to talk to people, and you have to be open to people talking to you, expressing themselves, especially children. And it's hard. You know how it is when you get in high school, okay? Kids are cool, and they develop certain parts of their personality, they know what it is, and they emphasize on it, meaning the jealousy part, they know that they are hating, okay? And they don't have anybody too much to talk to express how they feel about what's going on with them. So they lash out. They take it out on their schoolmates and stuff, and it winds up turning into a whole ugly mess. And then you got some girls and some boys that are really – that are so lost, and you know, we all hot in the ass in our teen years, okay? And
you got the ones that
want to finesse. You got girls that finesse boys. You got boys finesse the girls, okay? My mom used to call them pissy-ass little girls and rusty-butt boys. okay? And right. You only want one thing. And then you got to deal with the teenage pregnancy. And they are taking away so much, so many benefits from these kids in school. They don't have anything near what we had available to us when we were going to school. We had driver's ed. We had home ec. We had all kinds of stuff. And our counselors, they made a difference as well. Our teachers were a little different back then. They cared a little bit more. Some of these teachers are working just for a paycheck. And they are frustrated. They fed up with these kids and their attitudes because they don't have anybody to communicate to. You know, and, right. and that's just the whole big thing right there. There's a breakdown. There's been a separation caused somewhere with us. And then we got COVID that came along. That caused us to stay in the house, you right. know, by force. It wasn't a
and
choice.
It separated
the
most.
Exactly. And though some of us learned how to, we learned ourselves by being to ourselves, a lot of us found out, you know, we still need to have a community. We still need to come together, being separated like that. It's, man, I got so much.
It's very complex. Hey, but, you know, I like a lot of the topics that you had when I've been brought up there also. A lot of these things mm-hmm. that we're going through, you know, you can fix it on this end, but then it's leaking out on this end over here. You were talking about how the kids, how they were getting lost in the sauce. And then you went to go and talk about the other side of it, too. That just shows how complex that this topic is right here. But we do have to go ahead and reach these kids. What was the generational gap when you were coming up? What didn't your parents understand about your age range when you were coming up? Music or whatever it was?
It wasn't so much music because everybody in my family loved music. My mother had a thing with appearance. Keep up an appearance, regardless of what's going on. You have to look a certain kind of way. She had this thing where light skin was better. The fine hair was better. And this is what she would emphasize on a lot.
Oh, wow.
She just was one of those people that wanted to keep up with the Joneses and make it look like it was one way when it was really a horror mansion behind doors. And that was pretty much it. So when I got, because I couldn't talk to anybody in my family because everybody followed behind Mama, 'cause she had the money. And it's like you would think that we come from money and we don't. She just had a way of pulling it in. Some people just have that. You know, some people have the gift of gab. Some people have the gift of writing poetry such as ourselves. And some people can just pull money in from wherever. And
right.
people were drawn to her because she would put up this front. And I was pushed to the side all the time. A lot of my family members thought that I wasn't in as much pain as I was in because I told you I had arthritis. I still have it. But being a child and dealing with that level of pain, people didn't understand it because back then they called it old people's disease. And
right. And how in the world are you going to have that?
Right. They were thinking that she was catering to me unnecessarily. But I literally had braces on my ankles and my legs and stuff, and they were like, she can't possibly be hurting like that. It ain't that serious. You know, that was my barrier in the house. So when I got a chance to run, I did. And I didn't spend a whole lot of time at home when I was a teenager. I ran to places where I was accepted and not pushed away and put down. You know, like when I say toxic, I mean it was toxic. So that was pretty much it with my younger days. And when I got older and I met my husband, that's a whole different animal. I ain't even going to get into that. This little boy is not giving me much more time.
He's been doing pretty good so far. I take my hat off to y'all. He's been doing pretty good so far.
because he is pinching me and he is picking at my tattoos, trying to pull off the ink, and he's just doing things.
We can't see or hear none of that. He's doing an awesome job.
Now he's beating me with this bottle. Lord.
I still can't hear nothing. He's doing great.
That's because he's concentrating on torture. That's why.
All right, we can go ahead and get y'all in. He's like a silent assassin. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and give you the mic, Danielle. Does that sound like a good idea to you, Gina?
I think if we don't do it now, there'll be no Danielle left. Yes, we need this.
I know.
Hello, neighbor. We're going to give you the mic. I don't know what your grandson's plans are, but as much as you can get out, the mic is yours.
All right, thank you. Well, this is untitled. This is something I wrote the other night. All right. I used to come with apologies attached to every part of me. Really? Clumsy and stumbling around, believe it. Okay, so obviously he don't want me to. Let's try this again. All right.
We are loving the ambient noises that you have in the background. As long as you can go through it, we are loving it. The mic is yours.
All right. Let me try. I used to come with apologies attached to every part of me, clumsy and stumbling around, believing that in order to be loved, I had to apologize for everything about myself because I wasn't the designed model. So whomever came along was owed an apology, allowing bits and pieces of me to be used for convenience sake, just a temporary tool to use to help fix what was damaged in their world at that time. All because I felt like I was supposed to be needed, not realizing what I wanted was important. One day, I stumbled and fell so hard that I thought I'd never recover. Ouch! But I did. And it awakened what I couldn't fathom. And now I invest in my mended heart because I know what I want and that it is okay to have it. What I always wanted was for someone to look at me with their heart like I was Christmas morning. Every day, like I'm everything they've ever wanted, to feel his burning desire for me always in the collision of our lips, for us to pray together, knowing we have a star he sits upon. I want to look in his eyes and see that it's my story he's reading. I just want him to want only me, and that's that piece.
Whew. I love the love. Look into my eyes and read my story. Come on, man. Oh, it don't get no better than that. I will never stop loving love. That was beautiful. And your grandbaby almost let you get out.
Oh, girl, hit me in my chest with that bottle, and I was like, that was it.
Hey, what age did it become when you can actually defend yourself, Danielle? I'm just curious.
Say again?
Hey, what age do the children become when we can actually start defending ourselves from the children? I'm just curious.
When they go to high school and they come home and start sucking their teeth and they roll their eyes, and that's when you got to,
Let me help you with that.
What body parts can feel a certain kind of way then.
All right. Well, it sounds like it's a definite cutoff for that. In other words, yeah. Well, you can get away with that as a baby, even through your younger high school days. But now I got to roll my sleeves up with you.
That's right. And when that time comes, you're grown to me. Now it's time for you to get to work and handle some business. Okay. Mwah.
And this poem, it kind of spoke to some of the things that you had talked about when you were coming up as far as the not being seen thing. And you wanted that out of your mate. you want to feel your mate. You even want to feel your mate when they kissed you. You just didn't want it to be like pressing together some lip. You want it to be like this spiritual experience.
Absolutely.
You also want to see the love in their eyes for you, not the spoken words, but just to see it. This poem was right here. It was deep off in there, as Larry Maddox would say. It was stuck in his zap.
Yes.
You had also talked about stumbling. And you said it had awakened what you couldn't fathom inside of you. You mind talking about that portion of the poem, lady?
I couldn't fathom real love because I had never felt it from anyone. I've always been full of it. I have more love to cover the galaxy. That's how much love I have inside of me for life and just everything, because I can see the beauty in everything, even in the beast, that angry beast. I can still see the beauty inside of it, but I haven't felt it from anyone. Even with my husband, he was tyrannical. He was a narcissist in every sense of the word, so I was more of a benefit to him. You know what I'm saying? I haven't experienced real, true love yet. But I know it's coming. I know it's out there. That's pretty much what I mean.
Too.
He stumbled around, you know, clumsily, until I learned who I was and learned to really love myself. And that's
you
when
know, you've
I
been
stopped.
Doing this poetry. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's when I stopped searching for love, stopped looking for it. I learned to love myself,
right.
And I know that I come from love. I know that I am love. So whomever the universe has planned for me, they're going to be the perfect one. They're going to be the right one. But I know how to be patient with myself now and stop running around looking, not even running around, just I stopped looking at every guy that says something to me as, is this a possible relationship? And I'll just take it at face value now. I'm like, okay, well, this guy is just talking to me. It is what it is. Where I used to long for it and I didn't know the games that were being played. Now I know who I am and I ain't about that life. Trust me, they don't want to come over on this side of the street. I promise you that. Don't play with me.
You know what? That makes me mad, though, Danielle. When a person is like that and they hold love out like that for people, and people make them feel wrong for doing that. People are not wrong for doing that. The people that take advantage of that are wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. But you know what? When you get taken advantage of like that, you're learning lessons. Well, I learned lessons, okay? And I learned to stop allowing people to use me and cover for them, you know, cover their asses for the bullshit that they put out. I learned a lot, trust me. I got nothing but wisdom up in here, but guess what? I remain teachable, always.
Gina, what do you think about that poem, lady?
I love the poem, but what I love is the logic behind it more than anything, because I often say things like, I don't have a reference for this, that, or the third, like things that come up like this. I've had more obstacles and more disappointments, I guess would be the best way of putting it. Impossible suitors. Like, even dating right now for me is not an option because I just, one, don't have the time. Two, don't have the energy. And three, the ammunition, because I feel like on any given time I might have to bust a cap. And it's better for me not to put myself in positions where violence and gunplay would be necessary. No, I'm just playing. No, these are not jokes. I'm serious. I have to be by myself before until I get out of that headspace, because I'm really not interested in having any more of my time or my love used, abused, or taken advantage of. So in loving myself, and me and La Perla Negra, I feel like we're in the same boat. You know, I got this all this love to give, but no place for it to land. So when it does, yeah, somebody's going to feel like they won the lottery, like for real.
Absolutely.
But I'm patient, and I will not settle. and settling put me in some positions to where I was like, wow, these people don't even know how to people. So how are you going to be in a relationship with somebody that don't know how to talk to you or engaging? How about this? I have company at the house. And the whole purpose was, you know, let's spend some time together because apparently, you know, you were crushing me in high school, and since that was like almost 40 years ago, we literally have to reacquaint ourselves because we're grandparents now. We're not kids. So sure, you know, what can I bring you? Well, I don't actually need anything, so whatever your heart desires, and I guess I'll see you in a little bit. Invite the cat over, set the stage. I mean, it's like ambient light. It's not dark. It's not even, it's like a little after dinner. It's not even bedtime. I say, oh, hold on a second. Can you excuse me? I'm going to go to the restroom and freshen up a bit. And I come back and he's in his drawers. I don't know what happened between me going to the bathroom and him taking off his clothes. But I didn't realize that's how did I misrepresent myself? Because I know I did not offer sex. Sex wasn't on the agenda. We weren't watching a sexy movie. We weren't listening to sexy music. We hadn't even had a sexual conversation. So how did you go from come over to I'm in my drawers? I don't know. But what I do know is I'm not built from that. I don't have a reference with you, like Perla Negra. I don't have a reference for that. So I need people like that who are part of that generation, even if they're my age, but mentally they're in that headspace. Please, please, please stay away from me until they get themselves together. So I'm with you. We just going to be patient, girl. He coming. And he going to be able to keep us home while we go to the bathroom.
My God.
That was a beautiful poem. And your outlook is heavily based in your upraising and your upbringing. But what I love about you is the fact that you are filled with love. Your children and your grandson have nothing to worry about. You got y'all covered.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Tell everyone what do you have going on in the Epiphany universe, because it's a lot.
Oh, boy. All right. Y'all caught me. I put the last little piece of my sandwich I had sitting for about an hour because I couldn't enjoy it from this little boy. I just put it in my mouth. All right. All right. Let's start with Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, where I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Mrs. VIP. Now, the topic is up in the air right now, which y'all know how we do, and we like to tease y'all with it until we come up with something. And when we do, I'm pretty sure you're going to love it. So, all right. Now, every other Friday night, I am one half host of Iron Sharpens Iron, and that is hosted by Epiphany's own Anonymity, and that is from a Royal Pen's perspective. Every other Saturday night, I am the host of Poetic Therapy, and that is a place where you can come and release some mental stress through some open mic poetry and some healthy conversation. Or you can just sit back and take your socks off and listen to some smooth tunes from my playlist. And occasionally, Monday night, I am one-fourth host of the Soul Cafe, where I co-host. I'm one-third host, one-fourth host. But I co-host with Epiphany's, the CEO of Epiphany, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas, Poetic, and Just Jay. Also, occasionally I will step in and I will co-host with King Atterbury and Kings and Queens Quarter. All right, y'all, I think I done covered it all. Back to you.
I think you done covered the whole network while you playing.
Oh, hard is working. Host Tess and the Epiphany Universe, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know, now you know. Just listen in Monday through Sunday. You gon' catch La Perla Negra up in this building, for real.
I just heard the Energizer Bunny just walking through here like, doom, 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 doom.
Oh, yeah, y'all gon' get this work.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you for coming through. Thank you for your
business.
Thank you. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Hey.
You take care, Danielle. All right, Gene, I'm trying not to hang you up.
Oh, please don't hang me up. I would
Are
definitely
you still
be so upset. I'm still here.
All right, y'all have 15 minutes to go ahead and call in before the Blog Talk lady say bye-bye now. And he says it with a British sense of humor, just dry and wry, but that's how she gets out.
Love it.
All right, Gina. If anybody has their hand, if anybody wants to go ahead and spit, you have to raise your hand by pressing star one, or is it one star? Or is it just one? What am I
it's
doing?
It's just one.
Damn, my goodness, man. I need to get my whole life together. Are we going to go ahead, brother? Oh, my goodness. I think I got this worked out. Yeah. About to bring in 445. Caller, how you doing out there?
Hey, what it do? What it do?
Oh, my goodness. I know that voice right there.
What's going on? What's up, families? What it do, Jesus?
Having it up in here for Rihanna Poet. This is awesome. You know, the Tiffany universe is like everything, so I look so forward to this Saturday.
I hear you, girl. What's up, Jess J, baby? Yeah.
Man, I've been up here playing around inside your playlist, if you don't mind.
I saw you, man. I could tell. I knew where you was at. Because, you know, the rest of them guys, they don't get down with that good vibration. You know what I'm saying? I knew you was in my playlist, bro.
Yeah, man. I'm about to go over here and really archive out and see what's going on over here in this job. Because one time I had pressed the button, I said, I hope it's going to be good. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's my jam right there.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with any song that's in my playlist, bro.
Wait.
And I don't know where you found that snippet at.
I still want some of my music from you, absolutely.
I know you do, man, and I love you for it. You know? And that snippet you played, man, that promo, you had me cracking up a little bit over here. I was like,
it's just that snippet. I said, I'm going to go ahead and press this.
You couldn't help it. You couldn't help it, bro. You couldn't help it. You know, and once you played it, I was cracking up. I said, wow, that's funny. I ain't heard that one in a long time.
Right. Man, we've been talking about the generational gap, man. You have children, don't you, for real?
Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And you've been seeing kids walking up and down the street and the rest of that type of stuff, man. How can we reach these children? Or is it even worth trying to reach the children, brother?
Bro, you know, I'm listening to y'all, and it's been great conversations I've heard tonight. I'm just listening, and it's taking me places. I'm wondering what I was going to touch on. I'm not sure if it's so much about reaching them. I've been looking at it as far as staying in tune and in touch with them. It's about communication. And the thing about communication, it's the method of communication. Okay, because if you're lost, if you're still using a rotary phone, how do you get in touch with somebody that's on something that's technically, you know, advanced? It's about staying in tune.
Because I can't pump my hand for it with a rotary.
Right. You know, we talk about communication and how communication is the key to everything. How do you stay in tune to it when it's so far advanced these days, you know? I tried to hook my mom up to Facebook because, once again, we talk about technology and how it could be. Today, technology can bring you together. Mm-hmm. You know, like Facebook and Instagram and things like that. So we got a lot of family that's on there, and mom is always out of the loop. So I try to teach her how to go about Facebook and things like that. But from her perspective, from her end of things, it's so technically hard for her to do. You know, she doesn't have the full understanding of it. She's still trying to learn how to use the buttons, put it that way, the buttons on her phone, when it's so simple to other people. It's so simple to you and me.
Right, because they grew up in
Right. But, you know, and in her heyday, she went to school for computer technology, but it's all lost to her these days. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, the space between me and my sons is different from the space between my mother and me. You know what I'm saying? As far as there being a gap and technology being in the way. Because, you know, I heard you ask a question to Danielle concerning what was some of the gaps in her family coming up. You know, was it music? Was it this? Was it that? You know, music kept my family together. That was no issue.
Is that an issue now, as far as the music that the kids listen to, as opposed to what we don't listen to now?
To me, no. To me, the music don't separate me from them. It took me a little bit to get used to what people was trying to refer to as mumble rap and stuff like that. And that was, you know, it took me a minute to, you know, accept it, because, you know, from where I come from in the rap game and hip hop and stuff like that. But man, I tell you what, it's the beat that holds me. You know, I go for a nice beat, or if the beat catch me and make me toe tap, I'm in there. But I don't think it's, music doesn't separate me. What separates me is, and I'm good with, like, with me and my kids, the if there's a gap in there, it's not too much a gap in between me and my sons. But there's some things that do separate us. And those things is, like TikTok. I'm cool with Facebook, but, you know, the gram and stuff like that. One thing, what is the other one? Twitter. I can't do Twitter. I just can't understand.
I don't understand.
I haven't even downloaded yet.
I don't understand the twit language. I mean, I'm used to writing a paragraph. If I want to say something, I'm going to say it all the way out. I don't know how to break down the word. I don't get Twitter at all. Mm-hmm. But the social media thing, if anything, may separate me a little bit. But I understand its purpose, its usage, and all those things. So I'm not too lost. I'm not too lost out of it.
And you seem to move pretty good on social media, too, at least the areas I see you in. I mean, you put up videos. Yeah. I mean, you're designing videos and promos and all the rest of that. So I don't want anybody to think that you're not savvy with this type of stuff. It's just certain things ain't your bag from the sound of it.
Yeah. It's, well, you know, I can work it. It's just that it's certain things I don't, you know, maybe I'm not into. I'm more into promoting, and I'm less on social media for socialization these days, put it that way. You know, when I come on, it's to handle some business one way or another. And I might, you know, even when it's concerning the poetry, I very seldom post any more of that, you know, every now and then. And it's not for any one specific reason. It's just that, you know, just staying busy and things like that. But, those things, I see a lot of things going on certain social media outlets that is way beyond me. They're really hilarious, and some things I can't believe that people are sharing or doing. And it seems today, these are the things that the younger generation want to communicate. It's a lot of madness out there that I can't believe people are sharing, you know, but that's what sells today. That seems to be what people are looking for, the outrageous, you know.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with a station manager that was talking to me about schooling me about the ins and outs of people, what people like to hear. And it was very educational, man. So I'm in tune with that, what you just said, as far as, like, people want to hear the most outlandish, outrageous things. And you know, it was pretty much – it's a slippery slope into that too, for real. As far as like, you know, like, oh, this is cool, this is interesting, to like, oh, wait a minute, this is kind of wretched. You know, so it's a really slope into that.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's all over as well. Like, reality TV, you know, the Housewives of L.A. or this and that, the different ones. I never really got into them, but I know a lot of females at work that's very much into them. These reality TV shows and the stuff that's broadcasted through sort of social media. It's like, really, wow, this is where we have come at. You know, we've come to this today, you know. And but as far as a gap, man, between me and the younger generation, it's all about communication and being in touch with the ways in which we are communicating, the method of communication. If you're lost within the method of communication, there is no communicating.
Right.
You know, if you don't know how to use the device. I personally, now, I'll tell you about this. I cannot use a Apple phone to save my life. I don't know why. I use an Android. I'm good with it. Now, I do have a Mac. I'm fine. I'm fly with the Mac. But for some reason, I cannot use a Apple device. I went
right.
and spent money I went and bought one of those tablets. Man, I was lost in it. It took me to communicate with my sons to show me how to use these devices. Okay? Because they're, you know, most of the younger generation has got to be an Apple device. It's got to be an Apple device. So when you asked the question in the beginning, I forgot how you phrased it, about there being a generational gap and how do we save them, or how do we we need them to show us the way most of the time today.
You're right.
You know, and like I said, my son showed me how to use the MacBook, how to work my way around social medias. I didn't know how to get on Instagram and go about and how to do the thing on there and all that stuff. I had to get with one of them. So it's not so much as saving them from, see, but this is, you know, when you talk about this generational gap thing and how to save them, it's such a large and broad topic, but I'm just concentrating it from this end of it. And that's staying in tune with myself, you know, educating myself in a method, and how do I stay in touch with them? Or how do I stay in tune with what's going on today? You know, not so much as saving them.
And that's huge, man, because at first you took us from the grandmother, and then you had took us your communication, and then you took us down to the children. You took us to your communication to the children, to the children communicating back to the adults to go ahead and help the adults. That is the full circle on it, man. But that is somewhere in between, there is some snips that are missing among the masses, among the people.
Right. And they are. They are, man. You can get lost out here today if you don't know the lingo, if you don't know the way, you know, where things are happening at or whatever, the communication, the method of communication. I always talk about the method of communication. Because if you remember, if you put yourself in that place, you as well, Gina, when we talk about our ancestors, when we talk about the journey from Africa to the Americas, what was the method of communication in Africa? It's the sound of the drum beat, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did we communicate when we was brought here and wound up in bondage? It was through song. The message is given through a song that they would sing. Somebody would sing it, and you knew where to meet at a certain time, and, you know, or whatever, communication, the method of it. They wasn't used to, those slave masters didn't know that we were communicating through song. Okay? So you got to know how the message is being put out today, and you got to be in tune with it in order to communicate.
Right.
And that's how I look at it. I look at the method of communication. So once again, that's why I don't understand what's going on Twitter, because I just can't put my arm around it. They get
hey,
down by
if you just figured it out, let me know, bro.
I'm going to try, bro. Look, they say three words. They used to keep it everything real short and blah, 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 at this person. I don't understand. I want to say something. I got to say something. I got to say more than three words, you know, abbreviations and things like that. But, yeah, I'm big on the old-fashioned way of communication and staying in touch. That's why the gap between my mom's generation and mine wasn't that void, wasn't that big, wasn't that massive.
Mm-mm. You know, we listened to the same music they did, for real.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the messages that our aunts and uncles passed down to us and how to survive out here, how to get through the things that they taught us. We had an ear to listen. You know, don't go in this neighborhood around a certain time. Don't go don't do this, don't do that. Those things like that. See, it's hard to tell a youth today something like that. Their ears are polluted with so much other stuff, and the they feel like the opportunities of certain things are so broad and open to them. It's like a child that doesn't know any better sticking his hand in an electrical outlet.
Right.
They no longer hear the sound of our voices is telling them not to do such things. They feel like they know more than us, and they may, I don't know. But it's crazy. It's crazy.
I appreciate you for coming in here and telling it how it is, too, man. There is a gap. The children do not listen like they used to, even though this show is about how can we bridge that gap. There are some things that are on the children's behalf that are preventing communication from happening also. When we were growing up, I remember that we listened to the same music that our parents did. Our parents actually couldn't let us listen to all the music that they did because we would listen to it the same way they did. The kids aren't tapped in with us like that. Even when hip-hop had came out and we were going, we were taking our parents' albums. And they were chopping up the parents' album. We were chopping up the parents' albums in order to go ahead and make the music. And we had that connection. They don't quite have that connection now. For some reason, somebody has told them, it's almost like the Children of the Corn type of scenario, that, you know, the adults just don't get it. They're not in the right place. They don't listen to anything that they have to say to you. And I'm not saying all of them like that, because a lot of these children are being raised properly. But when they go there with the ones that are in control of the schools, as far as the power structures of the schools, those are the ones that say, like, oh, I ain't listening to the teacher. They can kiss this, they can suck that, or I don't give a damn what they think about it. I'm going to do my own thing. And they put pressures on the kids that were trained properly in order to use their proper training.
Yeah. Right, that's right, man. That's when parents really had, and I hate to use the word control, but I will say that. That's when the parents had full control of their children. Today, the children are under the control of technology. Okay, if they got a phone, they are tapped into the matrix. They're being taught this, that, and other. They're getting their beliefs from this, that, and the other, from the airwaves. They might, you know, it's things that we're telling them as we're raising them, but it's not fly. See, it's fly when it's on Instagram. Okay, it's fly when it's on Facebook. It's fly when it's on TikTok. You know, it holds their interest, and they're being pounded with it on a daily basis over and over. And when you're pounded with something, it sticks to your fucking brain cells like that. You know,
and the way it's dressed up, bro, you cannot resist it because they're liable to wrap that in any type of package with technology.
Right.
I can go ahead and make a video right now that's talking about eating apples, but you probably be like, that ain't probably no eating no apples, even though that's all I see is people eating apples.
right.
And you know, that's more appealing than me saying eat an apple, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, what's that sub-message that's going along with that eat an apple?
Yeah. They're, you know, there's a lot of things coming at them subliminally. But they get it. They hear it. They can't resist it. They don't have the, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. They don't have it in them to resist certain things. It's fed to them. They digest it, and they run off with it. The messages that they're being sent today in the United States, not even only in the United States, all over the place, but
yes, sir. It is global now.
This thing. There's a thing. I forget the basketball player and the actress that had a child. It was a boy. He was born a boy, and he wanted to be called
Dwayne Wade.
Yes. There's other kids that heard that story, that listened to that story, that heard, and they want the same thing. Now, these kids have never had a kiss from the opposite sex. You're 13, you're 12. How do you know what you want to be truly if you haven't even lived yet? But the messages that's being sent out here by the government, they're creating, restrooms for
the transgender.
What do you call it? Yeah, transgender bathrooms, transgender.
Gender neutral family restrooms, yeah.
Yeah, they're putting all this stuff out there. They're promoting this. I watched a cartoon the other day, and it had sexuality to it. I mean, there's always been in, you know, but you had to understand it when you was younger, like if you was watching Popeye or something, you know, these things. But it's almost like it has to be in almost anything we view, a scene, a rainbow-colored scene or a rainbow-colored character. You know, I have nothing against nothing, right, but I'm just saying it's almost part of the ingredient to put this in here. Now, I'm watching the Teen Titans. They have a TV, a seasonal show on, I believe it's HBO Plus or Disney or one of those outlets, right? Superheroes. Robin, the little Beast Boy and
Robot Dude.
Yeah, Cyborg and all these guys. I'm very much into it. Now, I grew up watching it, grew up reading comic books and all that stuff. Now you got to make one of the characters gay. All right.
Yeah.
Robin now in the comic books is gay. Has nothing to do with our topic tonight, saying.
Oh, Robin is gay now? Oh, okay.
Superboy. But, yeah, on the Titans, one of the Robins is, you know, gay.
Gotcha.
And I'm only speaking on this because we're talking about how they're putting messages out here. You know, now, the you're making them gay, but it has nothing to do with the show. Or what the, you know, it has nothing to do with the good guys fighting the villains. It's all about that one particular thing.
That's the focus of it.
And I'm telling you the method of communication and what you're communicating. So these kids are being taught, they're being fed things that's out of the parents' scope. Out of the parents' ear. As long as they got a cell phone, you're being taught not only by your parents, by everything that's going on around you. This is worldwide, this thing called the internet.
Right.
Okay.
And the TikTok videos can make everything look good.
Yeah.
They have so many minds. It used to be like CBS, NBC, the Peacock, and the rest of them. They were the only ones that could like really push at you whatever they want to push at you. But now it's set up so that, hey, I can be a producer. I can put out something that's so nice that millions of people go ahead and see it. And it'll be because of my own unique perspective that I was able to reach all those people instead of it being three or four big conglomeration TV things trying to do it.
Yeah.
They have us going ahead and pushing the agenda now.
Yeah, the three major networks are obsolete right now.
Oh, yeah. And I was kind of glad when it was coming, but once it came and the form that it is, I was like, you know, I don't know how much better it is. They were giving us garbage and trash the whole time to go ahead and take into our minds. But I think that the people are more of a bang-up job than they were doing, man. I think the people are hitting precisely. You know, I send you videos all the time, for real. Somebody thought of that stuff. Somebody thought of that stuff.
Yeah,
and they're reaching
people, man. It's great the opportunity that everybody has today. YouTube podcasters and stuff like that, man. You can get on there and put your stuff on display and have following. You know, it's all about how many followers you have, how many likes you have, and things like that. That's the world we live in today, man.
Man, you know, living off of likes can be a very thirsty lifestyle, though. And you know, if you don't get those likes the way that you feel, especially if you did something far better than what you did previously did, and you don't get that, it leaves you a feeling of emptiness, man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I was supposed to reach this many people this time. I put projections on this. I put all the necessary data in there, off the analytics over there.
Hey, man.
And it didn't do that.
Hey, look, bros, people are serious about this thing, and I think it's a real thing over there in China, where you're it's a movie out, too. I think it's Black, or it's called Black something, I forget what it's called. But your life is based on your social media, how many likes you get, and stuff like that.
You know? They have some of the variations that are going on right now. People get scores and ratings for... if they're going through the front door or the back door and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost how they want to base your life around your credit score.
Yeah, we're already doing that. I mean, if you have bad credit, which means that you probably have a little bit of money, then it's harder for you to go ahead and get things and they make things more expensive for you. I don't understand the math, but apparently they're making dough off of it.
Yeah, you know, well, this is Justin that you ask your, when you're dating, that you ask your significant other or whoever it may be, you know, credit score, find out their credit score before you get entangled with them and stuff like that, which I don't blame them, but, you know, I'm just saying. But it's out there like that.
It's out there like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Not saying it's bad, but it feel a little wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, even with that, man. It stopped people from going ahead and asking questions and getting to know each other. You know, you just go to your computer, hit a few keystrokes, like, nope, this person isn't for me. Look at that right there.
Yeah.
That's totally incompatible with me right there. When in actuality, something like that could actually help you to learn about that thing right there. But you never took the time to go ahead and find out about that. You want to find your perfect person, and you're not even perfect.
Right. You're not perfect, but man, but like the round it all up, when you talk about generational gap, man, to me, I'm concerned about this staying staying linked to what's going on. You know, I hate to feel how my mother feels, being locked out of the system. By not knowing the language, by not knowing what the generation under me is talking about, and how to talk with them, you know, that's what I look for. Because, of course, you're fighting, you're trying to save them you're fighting a battle that's man, we've never even been here before, bro. Come on, man, this is like a sci-fi movie. I'm not saying that we can't help those under us, the generation under us, but teaching right from wrong and things of that nature, it's a hard struggle. It's a hard thing, man. When we got all these other obstacles in the way, it's a lot out there. It's not just the parent and the children no more. Children
it's
and
not,
parents.
It's not.
And unless you're isolated somewhere and there's no, you know.
You have to live in the mountains of Appalachia and you cut off you're not on the grid, and then you might stand a chance with your family.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, bro, we learned some things from watching TV ourselves coming up, and we only had those major channels, right? Even when it was just black and white. NBC, CBS, and ABC. I can remember watching Leave It to Beaver. Now, that's way back. That's showing my age, but
yes, sir.
It was reruns.
Yeah, I remember that.
But we learned some ways of being from watching certain TV shows and stuff like that. So imagine what they're getting. They're getting stuff that would never have been allowed on network TV or hearing stuff that would never be aired on a radio.
Bro, I used to get so mad with my kids if I watch these cartoons, and they would be always doing these butt jokes. They always fart. They always doing something with these butts and the rest of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And they used to get the hell out of me, man, because the cartoons we grew up with, like Tom and Jerry, came out in the 1940s. No dialogue, right, but you still understood everything that was going on because the writers actually put their imagination into, like, all right, if he does this, then this right here represents that. It was a lot of thought that went into it. But as far as a butt joke go, man, they draw the cartoons real crudely, real rudimentally, and the only thing that's really happening is the dialogue is putting them over the top by going ahead and saying some outrageous things.
Yeah. Hey, man, today, man, you speak of Tom and Jerry and all that kind of stuff. A lot of those shows will be canceled today, bro, if you think about it. The violence, the abuse. You know what I mean? Come
we
on,
never
gouged
each other's eyes
man.
Out for real. Come on, now.
I'm just saying,
these kids probably would.
It was real racist.
I mean, for real, because the coyote is always trying to kill the roadrunner, man.
Not just kill him, blow him up.
Yeah,
yeah, he wouldn't be no meat left either.
I'm just saying, Popeye was dragging olive oil around by her hair, man.
And Bluto was human trafficking.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we ain't look at it like that. Our heads wasn't there.
I tell you what, man, when Klinger had put that dress on MASH, man, didn't nobody think twice about Klinger putting on that dress because they already knew where he was at. But,
mm-hmm. I used to watch that too, man. Yeah, that was kind of crazy, bro, now that you speak on it. But I'm telling you, it was being communicated at the time. We just wasn't locked into the communication. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. For real, do you have a piece for us? And we can finish chapter after. I miss talking to you, bro.
I miss talking to y'all. I just happened to have the night off, so I was like, okay, let me call in and see what's going on. Y'all sound good. I like it. I like Gina's professionality when she announced the thing that she did. I was right with you when you said that. She should be paid from that, Van. She needs to see Van on that one, Hopefully it'll go right.
You're already getting paid for that
Van,
one.
Yeah, Van handles all the money. Van handles all the money. So, but anyway, I just wrote a couple of things down, man, because I really wanted to keep it on topic about what y'all was talking about. So I just wrote a few things down. I don't really have a piece per se, but I'll give you what I wrote. I would like to really get deeper into it, but, I just wrote this just listening to the show.
With that being said, the poet, the mic is yours.
Thank you, sweet love. So how do we pass the baton of life? How do we pass this mic? How do we keep the rhythm of the beat from being lost in these streets? Communication. Communicating the lessons that were passed down to me, those lessons that saved me from these streets. I continue to walk to the drummer's beat, that drummer's beat that was passed down to me. It saved me. Its percussion drives me. Those drums that beat slapped by a hand from a distant land, they held the key. Oh, how to be of how to be, but I agree, it's hard to be today. The beat is hard to hear with ears clogged by the noise of technology. So how do we fill in the gaps, reseal the cracks when we can no longer hear nor feel the rhythm of our past? See, the beat goes on, but the distractions are strong. Hard to teach a child today when they learning everything they need to know from off their cell phones. See, technology has separated thee from the sound of that old drum beat. See, we live on a different page from the youth of today. See, we hunted with spears through tall grass and marshlands today to find your prey, you can simply Google it and you'll find it. Technology, it brings us all together. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. And yet, it can also be the great divide, see? I bought my mother her first cell phone and she still don't know how to text yet. Lord, I've tried. Generational gaps. Yep, that's that. Generational gaps, they do exist. It's up to us to stay educated or to be lost within it. Communication and the method of communication. That's that piece.
Whew. Man, you did write that up in here for real. What you think of that, Gina?
You know, that was one of those up the pen moments. I have to give it to him because he used the conversation that he had in regards to the generational gaps between himself, his mom, and his kids, the things that we learn and pick up in our childhood, in our youth, mostly just from, like you were saying, basically watching TV shows. And now the kids only have to pick up their cell phones to just tap into all kinds of things, and not, most of it is not good. So checking all the boxes, he crossed all his T's and dotted all his I's. It all came together real nice. That was putting a bow on the conversation that we had in regards to tonight's question. So if anybody goes to do it, it would be you.
I did pick up my pen.
That was everything.
Yes, and so was your dissertation.
I'm taking my socks off, baby.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jay.
Yeah.
Bro, you started this out with communication is the key, and you took us back to the drum beats of a distant land, back when things were more together, very much so more together than now, and that's what it took me back to some maybe too many layers of too many layers of technology have really separated us. I know when we were coming up, man, as kids, I imagine that at that time right there, for at least within my lifespan, that's the closest that we were to being tribal as far as the neighborhoods went. I was just on the end of another person can go ahead and whip your tail as you was going down the street because you were doing something. But when they say, like, Jared, I'm going to tell your mama, I knew that was it for me. My mama wasn't about to go down to their house and raise hell with them people. Talking about, like, you can't be seeing my kid doing nothing wrong and all this type of stuff, man.
Right. That was countrywide. We didn't know that, though, but that's how black parents were in Philly versus black parents in Georgia. The streetlight thing, when you know better when the streetlights go on, you know your ass supposed to be in the house. It's just simple. But
even Richard Pryor, he's
in
Tupelo, and it was the same thing for him over in Tupelo.
Yep. I just want to say this, bro. Like we were talking about saving or touching the younger generation, things like that. I'm amazed by it. My question is always a question there. How can I save you when I need you to teach me how to? You know,
right.
Communicate. If I don't know how to use the device, I'm out of it.
Nobody wants to make that move. The kids have been empowered to the point where they've been empowered to the point like, all right, you stay in your parents' house, but you are your own moral free agent. You do as you will.
Yeah.
You kind of meet them in the middle if you want to have some peace, but if you don't want to have no peace, you got your back. Don't worry about it.
Take them to court.
Mm-hmm. Emancipate yourself.
You know, so, hey, man, we can go on and on and on about this, John. But that's that piece. So, man, the best thing you can do is try to stay in tune so you can hear the message that's being moved, you know? Keep yourself educated to these new methods of communication. That's
I know
all you,
you
can
have
do.
Been
that's
very busy, sir. When was the last time you wrote for real?
A few minutes ago when I wrote that thing.
I'm talking about prior to this one, big bro. Prior to this one.
No, I wrote something. It has been a while. I was locked out for about 2 months. But last month I did write a serious piece. For the first time in a long time, I was, like I said, I didn't want nothing to do with poetry, to be honest with you. I didn't want to hear poetry. And that's my cure. But, you know, it was the things that I was going through that was keeping me locked from out those doors, you know. You know how the enemy works.
You
know, it takes
you had a pretty
away.
Rough run, brother. You had one of the mm-hmm. roughest runs I've seen in a minute. And, sir, for you to come on the other side of it, And not smelling like smoke your ass and walk through, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, thank you, man. It takes, man. If it wasn't for y'all, man, over here at Epiphany Radio, man, staying in communication with me and stuff, off the air and things like that. It takes your circle. If you have a circle, family, loved ones, man, and my circle is strong, man. And without you guys, man, I'd be lost out here for real. So.
You built
you know,
this for yourself, didn't you, sir?
I'm just saying, man, going through issues, life circumstances and things like that, man, you got to have a foundation, man. You got to have some people you can count on, some people you can trust and things like that. But, yeah, I was locked out of poetry for about 2 months, man, and I'll share that piece with you one of these, or maybe on your next show, man. I'll bring it to you.
Man, we're going to be on that like nobody's business, bro. Like nobody's business. Man, you sound good, too, brother. You sound real good.
Thank you. Beautiful, man. Poetry night, man. Saturday night. We're here with Gina and Jay. You know?
Man, you gave me the name just Jay, bro.
We have to make sure that they understand and appreciate this as well. There's no point in them being ordinary when they can be raw. I don't know if I ever say that one right. Boy, I love it.
You slipped that one in there. I like that. Yeah,
yes, sir.
That
yes, sir.
You too much, Gina Storm. Yes, gay. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I love you guys, man, and y'all doing great over here, and that's that piece. That's that piece, man.
That's that piece. Love you. One
love,
love
you
one.
Too, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the CEO. He's the founder. This is his network. If there was no, for real, the poet, there'd be no Epiphany Universe. We wouldn't be here right now. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. All right. I think I just, Gina, all right. I'm sorry. All right, for real, man. We appreciate you. Brother, do you have anything that you have to announce before you move?
Not a damn thing. But I want to put out here that if you go over to rawlinks@facebook.com, I'm going to have a new line out for Easter. If you want to wear some Easter jewelry, ladies, I got some Gumby Bears over there dipped in gold. I got some Mike and Ike's, some Jelly Bean jewelry and things like that. Y'all might want to check those out for if y'all want to get down on Easter and have people, checking you out, being like, ooh, is that candy around your neck, around your wrist? Hey, tell them you got it from Raw Links. Like Gina said, why be average when you can be raw? What?
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. And that's that piece, bro. Other than that, Epiphany Radio, 7 days a week.
Much love to you, man, and this empire that you've built here, man. This empire, man, is paying dividends, man, as far as, like, when you needed it, it was there for you, man. I know it was a whole lot of hard work to go ahead and get it to the place it is now, man, but, dude, you've helped a lot of people.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and I'm going to tell you, man, what you and Gina are doing over here, man, I love it. I love the topic tonight. I love the conversation. I love the way y'all run those things. I like the way y'all do it.
Yeah, we always try to stay one foot on the banana peel and the other one in trouble because this right here is a tough conversation. And like, we didn't really realize how tough it was until we started seeing the way it started opening up.
Yeah, it was kind of deep the way it opened up,
uh-huh.
You know, with my boy calling
Blaze.
In. Shout out to you, Blaze. I heard you, bro. You know, it was deep, man. It was deep. And I felt you. I felt you there, and I can understand what you're saying. But, man, y'all keep on doing what y'all doing the way y'all do it. And, hey, that's that thing. That's that thing, man. Y'all helping bridging the gap, and y'all don't even know it, between the generations by having topics like this.
Well, we appreciate you, bro. I just, my switchboard just went out, so you might have to hang out until they go ahead and start this. There it go. Thank you, big brother.
Yeah.
Big brother for real. Take
yeah.
care.
Y'all got more callers, man?
Yes, we do. It's something about you that did
that. Hey, well, handle your business, man. That was me. I sent out subliminals through the airwaves.
Oh, that's the love right there. All right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. One love,
yeah.
y'all. I'm going to let y'all go. Baby, baby.
One love.
Take your socks off.
One love, one mic. Take your socks off.
All right. We need to take our socks off with the CEO, Gina.
I know. And that was really food for thought as well, because I'd never meant to disengage from the older generation, not just be concerned with our generation and our kids and their kids. Oh no, we gotta look back as well, because some of us still have grandparents. I personally lost both sets of mine, but you know my mom's out here kicking it strong and hard in their 70s, and I need them to be, like Pharrell said, in the conversation.
Yeah, your parents are actually in the loop as far as this technology and stuff goes. And partly it's because
Mama
of the
taught me how to use Instagram.
You're right.
And they're also the reason that I have my Fitbit. Oh, please, they're the reason I have an air fryer. I'm going to just keep it a book. My moms are way above the curve. One that was in the prehistoric ages and you know, traveling through time in a time capsule was my dad. He had a flip phone after they had gone out of style and before they came back. He never texted.
Are you talking about one of them big long razors?
And he could not text. So I don't know what happened with him.
It looked like when it was on Star Trek and they used to flip their tricorder.
A communicator. Yes! Beam me up, buddy. Oh, yeah, my dad had that one.
Oh, man. You mind doing an analog drop for us?
Not a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are still here at the Epiphany Universe listening in on tonight's show with Just Jay and Gina, it is because you have stayed in queue and called in prior to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the Blog Talk lady did not get to give you the X. So congratulations and thank you for joining us. So we are looking forward to finishing out this show on a high note, because we started it on one. You could have had so many opportunities of things that you could do on this Saturday night, and just Jay and myself are happy that you decided to be here, the Epiphany Universe, with he and I this evening. Thank you.
Hey, that was awesome, Gina. Despite that, I had interrupted Jay. You there a little bit, I apologize.
Oh, not a problem. We didn't just meet.
I know. Cool. I'm about to go ahead and... I'm almost thinking that I didn't already done this, but I'm about to go ahead and see what it do. Hello, caller. How you doing? Have we spoken tonight?
No, we haven't. It's Lady A.
How you doing, Lady A?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
It's my first time calling in your show, but I've been enjoying listening to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've been agonizing about the generational gap there, Lady A. Lady A, do
yes.
you know my other host, the other host of the show?
Yes, Gina. How are you? I'm fine. I'm sorry. My cat was attacking me between Danielle's grandbaby and my cat. We can't catch a break. Thank you for coming in, including listening to the conversation, discussion, and the poetry prior to now. We were just talking about how this is global. Those of y'all who don't know, Lady A is not calling from the States. She's in Canada. And we have the same situations going on all over the world when it comes to bridging the gap with the generations. Do you have any thoughts and something you'd like to share on the topic?
Well, I was impressed by what Pharrell had to say, but I have to add to that that I think music is a bridge gap help, and I think that I think that listening to music and sharing music from my generation, and I think they're remaking a lot of the music from my generation, is a way to reach young people as a common ground that they could enjoy and relate to and open discussion with. And I really believe that music is the universal language.
Are the kids respectful, Lady A? Well, I'm cutting to the chase with you. Are the kids respectful?
No.
Okay, okay. We broke the barrier.
I'm saying music is a good way to reach them. Are they? I think they're a very indulged group of young people, and I think they're, and it's our fault because we've spoiled them. I think that they have a real problem with feeling like they're the word is lost to me right now, but I know that you know it too.
Entitled.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you. And that's a real problem because while being entitled, they lose the ability to be compassionate and empathetic. And it's a very selfish, I'm not saying they're all young people are like that, but there's a, you know, I'll give you an example, and I love my grandchildren. I took my one of my granddaughters out shopping. This was a couple of years ago, and she was graduating from high school, and I took her out shopping, and, what did you want to have, and that sort of, and then she was glad to go, but when we were getting out of the car, she said, "Now, I just want to make one thing clear. I'm going to give you my price range for the gifts." And I said,
Wait, I'm lost.
She said, I'm going to give you my...
What money was she going to spend on that child? Wow.
Yep. She said, I'm going to give you my price range. And I said, I think you're mixed up. Because I said, I'm buying for you. And I said, I have my price range. And you will be grateful. And I thought that was just an absolute, I adore the kid, but that just was the cat's pajamas. I couldn't believe she said that. So we have that kind of, the young people that are coming up, and I don't want to tag them all because they're not all the same, but the group that are, they're the me generation. They feel they are entitled to everything. And
Lady A. You said
Pardon
the
me?
Me generation. I said you have
yes.
stepping again there. Did you mean to say that this is the narcissist generation?
Yes. When I say me generation, I mean it's like it's all about me. I want. It's about me. And I think that it's become a real problem, and we're growing young people that are entirely selfish. You know, like, I mean, we have a lot of problems in the world. We have a lot of problems in North America, and there's a way to deal with them, and we're not dealing with them. And I think that you have to get back to basics and respect, and I think this whole politically correct BS is good to a degree, but has ruined society in a great many ways, you know, that kids disciplined properly in school, parents don't back the teachers up, little Johnny's perfect, all of these things, and you know, you have the television for the babysitter, the games, computer games for as a babysitter, and next time you go to a restaurant, look and see if there's anybody got a little baby in a high chair while the parents are on their phones with their heads down on top of the screen. It's disgusting. And these little ones, that's what they grow up, that's what mom and dad do. They have their heads stuck in the phone all day long. When did the phone become so damn important, you know? I don't know. Like, I'm raving a little bit. But it really does anger me because we're growing up, and they're rude. Kids are rude, and they're ignorant. And they're armchair bullies.
They really are. They really
no,
are.
No, I said
and
it all, didn't I?
In the back. but you know, I'm not gonna say all kids, but a lot of kids are bullying with their trauma or what their perceived trauma is also. You know, I think a lot of those kids that go to school, they do have a great deal of trauma. But what they end up doing, they end up sharing stories of their trauma, and then the next child will make that one kid's trauma part of their trauma. Cause my
and that's,
kids,
that's part of the problem, too, is that some of these children that are going to school, like you said, they're being bullied, but they come from homes where it's a drug addiction and alcoholism and all the rest of that goes along with it. Some of these kids don't have anything to eat when they're going to school. And so you have a generation of parents who are addicts, and I'm not judging them because they need help, but I mean they're bringing up kids that are bringing up themselves, and it's a lonely place for those kids.
It is, because they're it's almost like they're saying, like, all right, you're an adult, it's like, but you don't have any money and you have to be relying on these people that's here and the rest of that, and it causes a conflict, like, because they feel like they should be able to demand, but they don't have a pot to piss in.
That's right.
And they don't have any experience of life to go ahead and be like, all right, you know, that was kind of childish for me to do that. I probably should have been a little bit patient and things would have worked out. But they are children. We have to expect them to be children, even though the society is saying, like, all right, they have more power and more rights than you. You just have to go ahead and raise them until they're an adult and their child has that type of power over them. It's the tail leading the dog around.
But it, you know, what influence do they have to help them and guide them and lead them? There's a high school in the U.S., and I forget what, I don't know if it's Detroit or Philadelphia, one of those cities anyway, and they were finding a problem with bullying and kids, you know, not being happy in school and falling asleep in school and all the rest of it. Long story short, this one particular kid came to school and somebody was bullying them and trying to get their book bag from them. And when they got the book bag, they emptied it, and the kids' clothes were in there, all these dirty clothes that she would try to go and get them cleaned at a laundromat or wherever it was. And I think they had a washing machine or something at the school. So she would go in early and try to get the clothes cleaned. And so the teacher, one of the teachers, or maybe it was, I think it was the principal, and he realized that this kid, there was more like that kid. So he... you know, if you can't tend to their physical needs, their activities of daily living, the ordinary stuff that we take for granted, they can't learn. And so he realized that there were more kids like this kid, and he got a little program going in a room put aside with washing machines and dryers, so kids could come and wash their clothes at school. And that's what happened. And he won some awards.
That's bridging the gap right there, though.
He was a wonderful person. And these are the kinds of things that it's not enough to just say, oh, poor kids. You have to put your money where your mouth is and helping them. We have a Coats for Kids program where we are every winter, before winter comes. Kids are given boots and coats and mittens and hats to get them through the winter. You know, and a breakfast program for kids that don't have anything to eat when they come to school. There's a breakfast program in every school in our district. And we have to be able to help these kids, even though they're maybe turn out indulged or spoiled or whatever. They have needs. A lot of them have needs that people don't even see. And serious needs. Like I went to a conference or workshop one time with one of the addictions counselors in the city, and she looked after people with addiction problems, like within the hospital, with the workers, the alcoholism, and that sort of thing. But she also worked in the community for the methadone clinics, and she was like the head honcho, and she was explaining about addiction and how it worked and that sort of thing. And she was brilliant at it, and. But she said there was this one girl that would come in, she was about 15, and she would come in every morning to get her methadone, and she'd be crying and crying and crying, always crying. And she said, I realized, like, okay, stop the crying. What are you crying for? Every day you come in and you're crying. What are you crying about? You're getting your methadone. What's your problem? And she told this counselor that every morning her father would rape her, and she went to school like that. And so there's a story behind every young person as well. You know, we can't just be too hard on them.
but young people living a hard life in a lot of ways.
You brought us full circle. You had took us to the point of like, you know, these damn kids, and you brought us around to, like, that there are reasons for the things that they are doing, and that actually exhibits the frustration that we have. We can't do away with the kids. Things that they're learning that are, I know we would eliminate ourselves. The things that they're learning and how they're processing it, we have to be a little bit more involved in that. I remember when I was a young man and my uncle would be working in the garden. As he was working in the garden, I'd be asking him different questions about what was going on. And during that time, he was helping to go ahead and shape the type of man that I would be. I don't think a lot of that is actually happening. I think that, because actually when I see kids walking down the street, if they walk across my grass, I don't say anything to them. I used to go ahead and tell them to go ahead and, you know, step off the grass and the rest of that type of stuff. These kids don't have the respect level that we did. I think if they learn that if they give respect, they will get respect, that will go a long way as far as to helping shape them to be better human beings. For themselves and the people that they come encounter with encounter.
I think parents need to be taken to task too, because our children, you could be the best parent in the world and you can have problems. I'm not excluding that, but a lot of these kids are indulged by their parents because they're absentee parents, and the parents indulge them with all kinds of monetary things and no love. And they are not supportive of the school systems, discipline, and that sort of thing, just to kind of keep them quiet and let them live their own lives. And so the parents need to start taking a better role in their responsibilities in bringing them up and set boundaries and be able, you know, like no going out on school, like the old-fashioned stuff. You stay home on school nights, you do your homework, you know, you get grounded if you break the rules, and it's just a free-for-all now. So I think parents need to really take responsibility for a lot of what's happening. And then,
all right,
and
I
like
see
I said,
what, Lady A.
I can't start them all with the same brush, but it is there.
We're like 13 minutes from the end of the show, 12 minutes as of now, and we have one more caller to go ahead and get in. So we're going to have to go ahead and get in with your piece. And we ask you that you come back next week, which will be Danielle, and then the week after that will be us. Come back and check us out over here, and we will have topics like this. We're really getting our feet set over here. So as you
I really
come
like
in,
that, too. I like
to
that you have the callers participate like you have tonight. I think it's been terrific. But I got a piece that's called Yesteryear's Music that kind of fits.
Let's go ahead and get it in.
Okay.
The mic is
yours. Thanks. Thank you, Gina.
The notes pour out into the air, instantaneous recognition there, swept down a path to yesteryear, braids and beads adorned her hair. Been to the desert on a horse with no name, wondering how our lives have changed. Life was simpler, like American pie. We battled at home, so no more would die. Love ruled our minds to our body's delight. Smooth, sexy voices, the mood was just right. Barry sang in his deep baritone, can't get enough of your love, evoking moans. Eagles flew high in the sky in clear sight. Heartache abounds in the hotel at night. All the greats gave voice to our fears. They helped us release them with tears. Flowers of hope and signs of peace. Boys with long hair playing tambourine. War, what is it good for? Nothing. But we have it again. We need a bridge over troubled water where we meet and stay together, defying, defending, defeating the foe. Play yesteryear's music to heal your soul. And peace.
The music talk
about putting a bow on it.
I know. What do you think about the music references, Jesus?
I love them immensely. And because when she said Barry with his baritone voice, I was thinking, Barry Gibbs, we used to, she's talking about Barry White. Sorry, I went BG's. It just didn't even kick in immediately. But it was that music. It was the it was a sign of the times that, you know, everything was going to be all right and we could make it through. And when there's no, because nobody's going to do making love songs. They're not having messages in the music like we were talking about with the war or Sly and the Stone Family or, oh, my goodness, who else that I was listening to growing up in Earth, Wind & Fire. You know, we need some Marvin Gaye. You know, we got to figure out what's going on so we can move forward. So thank you so much for that, Andrea. Like Justin said, we're here every other week, but I always come in and get the poetic therapy with Danielle, a.k.a. La Perla Negra. Her Saturday night, so all Saturday nights are amazing here. And you know, you are the favorite Canadian of the Epiphany Universe, so thank you once again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
One love, one mic. Thank you.
One love.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you again soon, too.
Thanks, Jay.
All right,
oh,
Gina.
So I was watching the clock and saying, wow, really? It's going back so fast. I really just started this. That's okay. That's okay. You know what? It's the callers and the listeners that make this worthwhile. So without all of y'all, there would be no us. And once again, we just have to show you our love here at the Epiphany Universe.
That's all we got to do. That's all we got to do. What's going on with you, 502?
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Oh, my goodness.
Fine, Quincy. How are you?
Hey, Gina. Hey, Just Jay.
This
has been a good show, my gosh.
Thank you. Thank you. I know you're
the dialogue.
A mom. You're a boy mom, and you know about how it is with this generation, and so I know that you have something to bring, and we love your poetry. We don't want the Blog Talk Lady to give you, so I'm going to just hush.
No, I appreciate that. No, I would just say I really agree with so many things that I've heard for the time that I've been on here, which has probably been at least the last hour, maybe hour and a half. I don't know when I came on, but I've been on here for a while. And I think the other thing, you know, it's not just, okay, so the technology and all of that, but the other thing, and someone else might have said this before. I came on when Blaze was on. That's how long I've been here. But someone else might have said this before him. I don't know, but the issue of they compare themselves to everything. So not only do we have these issues of technology and parents being in their phones and parents not, we're not always doing the right things too, but not, they have all this at their instant gratification at their hands. So they compare themselves to everything. They compare themselves to everybody. They don't think about, back in the day we were playing outside in the alleys and stuff in Galveston. We didn't have to compare ourselves to anybody. We weren't thinking about that stuff. So that's
right.
Like a whole nother level, I think, that creates it, because that makes them feel, like you said, I'm not talking about the folks that have like major challenges and things that are happening to them, but just like the kids that just feel entitled, that's because they're looking at what everybody else has and they think they should have it too. And, you know, it's hard to limit that, because what do you do, right? You can't remove technology from their life, but I wish we could, because I'm telling you, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of this new world order with my kids.
If we can drop an EMP bomb and everybody go back to the basics, you know, I might sign up for that, Queen. See, I might go sign up for that.
Crazy. It is so crazy.
I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to let you get your poem in, and we're going to talk it out until the Blog Talk Lady said we can't talk it out no more. The mic is yours.
All right. Thank you. I chose this old piece because it kind of, to me, it's about, like, as parents, when we don't do what we need to do or we're focused on the wrong things, that's going to further that gap. So I feel like it was somewhat applicable. Imitators appear to be something we, the people, enjoy being. I imitate my suppressed self each day. I imitate the old me, but not very well. I'm too concerned with the feelings of others or what they think, or because they judge my ink, appearance, kids, spouse. They judge my house if they could see in. So I imitate the words inside me that never get penned, my long-lost beauty, being a fill-in-the-blank mother to all three, being the best wife ever, so very challenging for my ambitious inner bitch, and keeping my house intact along with my career, since sometimes it's vertically challenged but somehow remains upright. Social media creates a second world with this new world-type lives with 1 million connections, 678 contacts in a phone, yet no one to call. We're alone, souls are connecting in ovens left closed for 3 days, like 200 character messages that are skimmed but never opened. Yet in public places, those so well connected faces push others into right angles, acting like they are too square to fit in their small circles. But back in the new world life, same folks on social media texting and tweeting reciprocation, a nonstop 360-degree cycle. Do they realize the whopping size of their so-called small and so tight circle? Example, her DMs are lit, then she gets hit. Screenshots are the most full albums because the way those images drown insecurities out is more than anyone ever fathomed. The norm is to wait for the package to arrive. Fuck tracking online, it's necessary to have CDC saved to your favorite Center for Disease Control, because if this Saturday, the day after Friday, March 13th, happens to be your time to get a piece of pie, you can't get one full night or 5 minutes of hand-holding in public time, but you can get 9 pieces of dirty DNA from where he or she has been the last 10 days. That's the type of pie we serve in 3.14159 in this new world life, where truth is obsolete like healthy school lunches, and imitation is found in family, friends, lovers, and at our fault, children. But carry on enjoying when you are handpicked to attend day parties and brunches. You made it, sis. You've been crowned a new world type life socialite. In peace.
Did she just use pi, the number pi, in exchange for pi, a slice of pie? I'm dead. Does that?
Chrissy, why would you do that?
Day. She said it on 314. Oh, my goodness.
I remember in math.
No, honestly, Jay, I'm thinking what a nerd, and then it dawns on me. How do I know that? Because I'm a nerd, too. Let's go.
Look, can I give y'all a snippet real quick? Because I left the end off because we're almost out of time. But I feel like I need to tell y'all the end. Okay, the end, the last stanza is, and while Epiphany's giving us space and such and just Jay bringing the dialogue, I'm waiting for a freestyle to storm through. From the city of Ali, I'm just sharing my 2 cents. See, my poetry has truth, and the jabs won't hurt. Poetry only works if you see the worst. I really wanted to get a freestyle tonight, y'all. But, you know, me.
Oh, next time, I promise.
I'll have to call in next time so I can hear a freestyle.
Oh, you are amazing.
I added that for y'all. Thank you.
You talked about connection.
Y'all's show was really good.
That was so excellent.
You said you're imitating the old you. We're gonna talk until the wheels fall off.
You know, just life taking its toll, adulting. You don't feel like you're the same anymore. You question everything. You're not who you used to be. All those things.
All right, Gina,
and you're just,
speed,
you know,
down,
going with the flow, going, doing the career, doing the work, being a parent, doing all the things you're supposed to do. But are you really the version of you that you were before that was, you know, satisfied or happy or whatever that might be? Or maybe you're a better version now, and that's good.
The norm is tracking packages. That's the ice cream truck for adults.
Me, when I'm expecting something, I'll be like, oh, the ice cream truck is coming, it's for me. And that's the Amazon truck.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, coming down the hallway.
I don't need no bells playing. I don't need a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Know that that's the ice cream truck for grown-ups. I see that smile on the side of the van. I know it's for me.
Gwen, the invitation is found in family, friends, and lovers.
And at our fault, children. That's right. Because we don't do what we're supposed to do. And yes.
Invitation is found in family, friends, and lovers was a piece of this poem also.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
So the whole poem is on the premise of, like, as adults, if we don't do the right thing, then we're impacting our children negatively. So when I talk about, like, the package to arrive, I'm actually talking about, like, females waiting on, you know, some dude. You're worried about getting that sex, and that's why I talk about the dirty DNA that you're getting. So if we're not doing the right thing as a female, as a mother, those gaps that we've been talking about all night are just going to get bigger and more broad and more expansive and more impactful, right? We got to, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody should help parents, both parents, but I'm saying like that is, to me, that's what this is about. And the imitation is we're not doing the right thing, whether it's family, friends, lovers, and then at our, even our children are in somewhat this imitation mode, but that's our fault because we've allowed like the technology, we've allowed this gap to happen.
Gina.
Yes, Jay.
What do you think about that? We is in overtime right now.
Yeah, it's wild. And since Blog Law Talk Lady didn't get us, we got to take advantage of this moment here. But no, true story.
Oh, how was it?
It was something that she said that I hadn't even taken into consideration, and it was this: the kids are imitating other people, like they're not satisfied with themselves and they're trying to be copycats and be other things and other people, maybe even be in different places. Maybe it's just a mentality or a mindset, but when you think about it like that, like honestly, I don't even remember as a child growing up having role models that I looked up to that were on TV or in films. It was my mother, my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
aunts,
mm-hmm.
you know. Really, we got to get back to all of that. You were talking about when we were playing in the alley. I remember if we were too far away to hear our mother call us for dinner or to come in the house from where we were, then we had gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get in the sound of her voice, and like Pharrell said, we need to get in that house when that street light comes on. Matter of fact, beat the street light. Don't let the street light
yeah.
catch you.
Yeah, yep. That like your face.
We can't mm-hmm. discipline the kids in school. And then you spank your kids and they call the people. Then the people get involved and now your child's in the system. And the system is so messed up, they're lost. So
mm-hmm.
we have to keep our hands on them, not just, you know, keep them in the house or keep them under our watchful eye, but know that every moment that we have with them is time in which we need to be instilling them with some of the gems and jewels. Like Jay was saying with his uncle and the gardening, you know, when my grandfather taught me how to fish, he also taught me how to bait my own hook and to gut and clean the fish and then to cook
right.
it up, serve it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, teach a man to fish, he'll always be able to feed himself. But if you bring him fish, you're taking him to a disadvantage. There are our children are not
actually bringing that kid fish.
They are electronics, yes, and we're giving them. They don't have jobs. Like I said, them the broke roommates right there. So when
mm-hmm.
the roommates have electronics and can Google their fish or can Grubhub their fish, you know, you've cut out the middleman. But we need them to be able to feed themselves. So we need to communicate with them so that what they're taking in is good stuff. I'm so glad that you were here, mm-hmm. Quinn. This has been amazing.
I am
absolutely.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you both. I really enjoyed your show. I'm glad y'all are here.
We're going to be doing features through here. We're going to we might have to drag you in for one of them type of things. Once we get our feet settled, we want you to be our first feature if you are agreeable to that.
Yes, we would love that.
I am agreeable. I don't tell Gina no, even though you asked. I'm saying yes because it's you and Gina.
Yeah, I appreciate that for real. That's
making me happy.
Right there.
She pretty much can get whatever, okay, because her voice, her giggle makes me happy all the time, okay? So that's just, always like this, she has a control over me.
I'm appreciative, I really am. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, you have anything coming up, Gwen? You want to promote yourself by all means.
Oh, I do for once. Okay, so April 2nd, I'm going to be in Galveston, Texas for the Artsy Poetry Fest at Quincy's Festival. I did it back in 2019 here in Kentucky, and then the pandemic happened. So April 2nd, we got Brunch Books and Bars in Galveston. April 4th is the second event of the fest. It's a mini fest. It's just three events. The second one is an open mic. So anyone in the Houston area, Galveston, please come through. You can find all the information on my page. And then the third one on that Thursday that week is going to be a workshop at the Strand Historic District. So got some stuff coming up for a change, and I appreciate you giving me that chance to share.
Yes, absolutely. We're here. look at it like this. When you have an opportunity, always promote yourself. I hate when people have things going on and feel like, don't nobody care, don't nobody want to hear that, or they're not calling mm-hmm. from my area. You never know. Like I said, these are streaming yes. live on Spotify and iHeart and everywhere that you can stream a podcast. So somebody will hear this and be happy that they did. So here you have it.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
Gwen, we're so happy that you were the last person on here, and we're going to have go ahead and have Gina shut it down. I mean, I couldn't have thought of a better person to shut it down. I mean, you,
yes.
when we did the battle together, and I seen how poised you were and how you moved during all that, I really got an education, Gwen.
Oh, thank you.
I
oh
really
yes,
did.
Don't do nothing else. She battles. I love
I
it.
Try.
I try.
I try.
Yeah,
sometimes it's a struggle.
At it. Yes, absolutely. You are phenomenal.
Night.
I love your pen. I love your voice. I love your energy. I love your support, and that's what we're here for.
And I appreciate that immensely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, then. We're a little bit over the 11 o'clock hour here, Central Standard Time, ladies and gentlemen. And I know it's a little after midnight on the East Coast. I want to thank you all. You could have done anything with your Saturday night. Just Jay and myself are so happy that you decided to be here with us. This
mm-hmm.
is another it's the show in the Epiphany Universe. Baby, baby, because we took our socks off. One love, one mic.
Good night, everybody.